It's time for Twig. Matthew Ingram joins Jeff Jarvis and me. We'll talk about the latest news for Google. And Matthew's going to debunk my favorite rumor. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 332, recorded Wednesday, December 23rd, 2015. You like Donald Trump? This Week in Google is brought to you by Bowl and Branch, the most comfortable sheets on the planet. If you order right now, they'll give you 20% off your entire order, plus free shipping. Just go to B-O-L-L and B-R-A-N-C-H.com. and use the offer code TWIG. And by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/TWIG. Time for TWIG This Week in Google, the show where we cover really anything we want to cover. So don't hold us to that Google thing. We do a little Google from time to time. Jeff Jarvis is here. He did write a book, What Would Google Do? He's wearing his Twitch chapeau, very lovely.
Thank you for this.
Professor of journalism.
It's so useful. I can take it out in the street all the time.
Get shot.
I could have used it for graduation.
I think you're wearing it backwards. The tassel goes in the back so that you can
see
the
Shriners
logo.
In town?
No, it's not a fez.
Oh, there it is. Yes, I see it.
It's what Sukarno wore.
Okay.
You want fries with that?
Okay, if you don't like it, you could send it back and I'll send you something else.
I love it. I love it.
It's unusual, right?
It's very plush.
Yeah.
It's really quite amazing.
That was our gift to our hosts.
But how could I not have a little humor opportunity?
I like how it looks on you, actually. It's very flattering. you look like you could be a dictator of a Pacific Republic.
Yes.
Also with us, Matthew Ingram of senior editor of Fortune.com. It's great to see you, Matthew. And you've got your new microphone.
I do.
And the sound is beautiful.
It's pretty fancy.
Yeah. We're glad to have you, as always, a regular on the show from, both of you are from the balmy East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff's in New York, Matthew's in Toronto, and it's, I hear it's going to be in the 70s tomorrow, Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Welcome to a white hot Christmas.
Can you remember a Christmas Eve that was anywhere near that kind of warm?
We had one a few years ago.
Yeah.
But not like this.
That's amazing. Just amazing. I was all worried because Saturday we're flying to New Jersey and I was all prepared to wear, I was going to get a puffy coat, toque, gloves.
Don't need it.
Now I need shorts. It's crazy.
How long is the cruise?
Just a week. I'll be back in time. Next week on Twig, we're going to do Best Of, thanks to you, your picks from our Best Of, and Jason Howell and Tony Wang who put a great show together. That'll make it easy for us to take a little time off. And then 2 weeks hence, January 6th, we'll be back with live shows. So it's just a quick little one-week vacation. I'm excited. Now, we've talked before about messaging and how it is the platform of the future. The problem is there are a lot of messaging apps, and messaging has that kind of same issue as, social media of all kinds. If your friends aren't there, there's no point, right? In fact, people say that's one of the reasons Facebook has a kind of permanent advantage because of the network effect. But messaging, there's never really been a dominant messaging platform, not at least since ICQ. Then there was AIM and Microsoft Messenger, which was very popular, I know, in Canada.
AOL, I think AIM was
AIM dominant, was pretty right? big. But AIM had the same problem they all did, which is you could only talk to other people on the AIM network. And then there were solutions like Trillion and Pigeon that allowed you to talk to, multiple different chat. That was nice.
And then there were things that let you talk to the computer and ask questions.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me is that we took a step backwards. So they federated chat. And Google, by the way, big player in this with Google Talk, because it was based on Jabber, which was an open source platform, a really nice extensible platform for chat. And for a while it looked like kind of like SMS looks now, or the phone network looks now. It didn't matter what carrier you were on, what chat client you used, because you could still talk to everybody. But then companies realized, no, we don't want that because we want to own you. So Apple had Messages, which kind of sort of talks to SMS, but only when it feels like it. Google had Hangouts, same problem. WhatsApp, huge. Facebook bought it. There's a whole bunch of pseudo-secret messaging apps like Telegram, and then the genuinely secret messaging apps like Signal, Threema. But they none of them talk to one another. And now, you know, I've been wondering for some time, as Facebook makes Messenger, its own Messenger, stronger and stronger. They just added Uber. I can call an Uber from it. I can, they're starting an agent process with real life humans, the M, but it's limited, very limited rollout. I can send all sorts of stickers and animated GIFs and audio and video. I can make HD video calls. I mean, in fact, it's so ironic because about 3 days ago I said, all right, I give up because everybody I know is on Facebook. I'm just going to use my Messenger platform. It's going to be Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
What do you use, Matt? Matthew?
Well, it's interesting. I was going to say, I mean, I use Facebook, obviously, for friends who are on Facebook, but my kids like to use WhatsApp.
Really?
So we use it. We have a family group on WhatsApp, and because it's the closest thing to sort of cross-platform and easy to use, you know, there aren't a lot of complicated features. And if you just want to send a text, some are on iPhone, some are on Android. So
it's true. Texting, it is cross-platform, yeah.
Yeah. So it's the closest thing to sort of a cross-platform thing.
Well, that's to me what Facebook Messenger is. And the problem with WhatsApp is you have to kind of prearrange, okay, we're all going to use it.
Right.
Right.
That's the problem.
But but you can pretty much assume that almost everybody's on Facebook.
Well, I was going to say that.
Why don't your family use Facebook?
They do kind of, but the girls don't like to use it. They mostly just don't, like, they kind of have pages, but they don't use Facebook Messenger that much. And we wanted something kind of private in a way. So a WhatsApp group does
that. You still text?
We do text. If you just want to reach one of them, then I will text them. If it's a group thing, like we set up a Christmas chat to,
that's nice,
you know, talk about the things we wanted or,
yeah.
Does anybody have a family Slack chat?
I think people do.
They do. Yeah. I actually thought about setting one up, and then I was going to have to tell everybody how to use it.
And it's not free. That's the biggest problem.
Oh, right.
And WhatsApp is just a lot easier.
I know Sarah Lane and her friends use Slack, but they probably all work for companies that pay for Slack. So, But that's what I was going to mention. And there's Slack in enterprise. There's Slack and there's HipChat. Facebook's try to do Facebook at work. I don't think it's got much traction. Kick. That's more for the younger, sexier people, I think.
I was going to write about this and never got a chance, but you know, Slack has been adding so many integrations of different things like Uber and you know, anything with an API you can basically plug into Slack. And Kick has. In fact, Slack just set up a platform kind of investment fund. So they're going to, I think it was $80 million.
Right.
They're going to invest in sort of things that run on Slack as a platform. And Kick, I think, just invested in a bot that runs on the Kick network. I think that's fascinating that if you look at a lot of Asian countries, their messaging apps already work that way. So WeChat or whatever it is, you can order food, you can use a sort of Tinder style dating service.
Wow.
You can do all kinds of different things, and it's all done with apps that live inside your messaging platform.
It's clear that everybody's, you know, looking at what WeChat and Line are doing and saying, okay, so who's going to be the one in the US to own? Because WeChat has a huge market penetration in China.
Massive.
You need that to make it work. It was interesting when WhatsApp was slapped by a Brazilian judge last week who said WhatsApp didn't cooperate with a court order and we're going to shut you down for 48 hours. WhatsApp in Brazil has 93% penetration.
Yeah. Jeez.
I was going to say, if you think globally, there was a a map someone posted of WhatsApp use versus Facebook Messenger use. And you can see why Facebook bought it. In almost every country except the United States, WhatsApp is huge and Facebook Messenger is tiny. You know, there are countries where WhatsApp it is more dominant than every texting function of every telecom player.
I saw a picture, like this is a year and a half ago, of women at bus stops in India with saris where the fabric was WhatsApp logos.
Wow.
Nice. Wow.
Now, that's a buck
it's
a year.
It's a cultural moment.
Yeah. That's a buck a year. But that's actually, if you've got a billion users, not insignificant.
And it's interesting. They implemented the buck a year thing first to slow their growth because they were actually growing too quickly. Right. And so they wanted to slow it down a bit. And then they took it away again. And then they implemented it again because they were growing too fast.
Well, and a buck a year looks cheap. And one of the reasons WhatsApp does so well in countries like Brazil, because the local carriers are so rapacious with their SMS plans. Right. It's so expensive, 20 cents a message and more in some cases, that a buck sounds like nothing because you can use WhatsApp unlimited. And so that's
why I think a lot of people didn't realize WhatsApp was a big deal, because in North America, free texting is pretty common, so hardly anybody pays for it.
Exactly.
And so everyone texts.
Right.
But in lots of other countries, it's hugely expensive to send a single text.
I text all the time, and I think it's interesting. Both Google and Apple had a strategy to kind of sidle in by making their texting apps support internet messaging, particularly Apple, with messages, so that it... Because they had an iMessage, an Apple messaging system that wasn't that way. And they said, no, wait a minute. If we make iPhone's text messaging be messages, then we can kind of... And I think Google thought the same thing with Hangouts, but then all of a sudden said... And this is where I felt like Google was really missing the boat. By the way, if you want to talk about missing the boat, it's Microsoft, which killed MSN Messenger and now wants everybody to use Skype messaging. And I don't think anybody wants to use it. So... Microsoft's the laggard here, but everybody understands the power. And the reason I bring this up is the Wall Street Journal yesterday published a rumor that Google's going to launch a new messaging platform. This kind of explains what we had read. Google Fi, when you sign up for Fi, says we would prefer that you use Google's messages, not Hangouts.
Interesting.
And and there's no technical reason for this. In fact, I continue to use Hangouts as my text/messaging app, but now I understand, or this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, that judge who declared a 48-hour moratorium was overruled by a higher court who said, "This is, you can't do that." No, and they, after 12 hours of shutdown in Brazil of WhatsApp, they turned it back on again. People were furious.
Brazil is the most unsung, and I've said this on the show before, but most unsung internet addicted country there is.
Yeah. It's
and
true.
The early adopter of all early adopters. They adopted early to photo, Orkut? To social.
Remember Orkut?
I don't know that they beat.
Orkut was big in Brazil.
It was huge. Yeah.
It was the last, in fact, the last bastion.
Yeah. It was the first and last there. And so Brazil's amazing at this stuff. You don't mess with Brazil on the internet.
And every time you look at a new, I remember... what was that thing that Dave Morin...
Path.
Yeah, so Path was gigantic long after everyone had forgotten about it in North America.
And then they got acquired.
Brazil.
By who bought Path? Was it a Japanese company?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
So what's... But the Google service, it strikes me, because I understand that you can ask questions of a bot as well,
Korean
right?
company. So let's talk about this, because this is a weird article. So Alistair Barr, writing in the Wall Street Journal, couple of days ago. Most of this article is not about Google's... The hook of the article is this leak that he got, or a story he got from somebody, that Google has been working on a messaging service. But then it goes on talking about other stuff, completely about other stuff. So really, he's only one fact in here, which is... for its new service, Google plans to integrate chatbots, software programs that answer questions inside a messaging app.
So that, to me, is a replacement for search. That's not a chat messaging program. That
well,
is
I think
it's a conversational version of search.
I think
it's a way to integrate search, I think.
Yeah, yes. But clearly what Google would like to do is, I would guess, is have a messaging platform, much like WeChat, that does everything. And one way to do that is with bots. Yeah, because you don't have to, and by the way, Telegram has bots. In fact, Google acquired a company that does a lot of bots, or no, they tried to, called 200 Labs. 200 Labs said no.
That's right.
But they make bots on Telegram. In fact, I have a bot, a Chief Twit bot, that said, that tells people things like when a show's about to start, when I pull up my car out front, when I weigh myself, things like that. And it's very easy to make a bot for Telegram. I imagine Google will attempt to do something similar. They did attempt to buy this company. But bots don't have to just be searches, Jeff. They could be anything. The bot could, I could say to the bot, right, give exactly. me train tickets to, you know.
Right. So I think this is, and I think it goes to voice. Oddly, it goes back to voice where you're talking and say, you know, make a reservation for six at blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. That kind of command system. It's beyond Siri and beyond Google Now. It enables functionality behind that with a different interface. What strikes me about this more than anything else is that it's not the intentionality of typing a query or sending a message. It's do something for me. It seems mm-hmm. to be more of an extension, and this is all just rumors, and it's all just leaks, but it seems to me a logical extension of Google Now.
I think it is. I think that's what they want to do. They want to become a part of your life and all the things you do. And at some point, I'm sure they're going to have bots that respond to, without you having to even ask a question, bots that say, you know, I noticed you're at this place. Would you like to do X?
Have you sent your mother a birthday present?
This could be, and for Google, this is a high-stakes operation because they wanted to beat Twitter and Facebook, and they did Google Buzz.
Right.
And they do and not Plus. Want this to be Buzz. They're and Google Plus. They only really are going to get one, in my opinion, one chance to get this right because if it's going to work, they have to get the network effect big time. They have to do something that people go, yes, oh, my God, this is so great. Everybody, hey, everybody. We're but leaving Facebook, everybody onto Google.
That's the thing I'm questioning here, Leo. I'm not sure it's their next social effort of leaving Facebook. Again, based on this little tiny bit of information. And by the way, right now at Google, there's five people sitting in the room saying, they only got about 5%.
Call us. We'll put you on.
We will.
I'd like to know what you're doing. Nick Fox apparently has been leading a team for at least a year, according to the Wall Street
Journal.
Look
at what happened with Messenger. Look at Google has such a huge installed base of Gmail users and people who use all kinds of Google services. No one uses Google Chat or Hangouts or Messenger.
I use Hangouts. But
I know you use Hangouts. But I'm saying no one in kind of
it didn't take off.
Broad terms.
Even
right.
though they offered video, they offered group chat.
Right. So why they've got this massive installed base. They need to do something extra. Even Google Plus.
I agree.
Which they basically forced people to use or tried to by connecting it to all their other Google services. So what is it going to take? What if they federated with everything?
Federation would be so awesome. And Google's the only company that would do that because Facebook really wants to be siloed, right? Everybody wants, right. Twitter wants to be siloed. They all want.
I think that's actually Slack's sort of core value in a way. Obviously its design is great too, but I remember talking to Stuart Butterfield early on before it was, you know, worth however many billions it's worth now. And I said, what do you think, why is Slack going to be any better than the 15 other things that people use to do similar things? And he said, the main reason is we're going to integrate with everything. Any service you use, any website, any
other
any
messaging platforms?
An API. Well, I don't know about that.
No, see, that's the key though.
Right. And I think if they just build something that's, you know, if you go back to your analogy of MSN and ICQ and AOL and so on, if they just build another messaging thing that's cool, I don't think enough people are going to use it.
I agree. They can't be Google. Let's try this out. Has Google ever succeeded at being the fourth in and then winning it? Google well, tends search, to invent. Google tends to invent. Well,
search
you know
they were
I mean.
The 10th in.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. They did a quantum leap of the value of search.
Right.
Google is an inventing company. When Google invents it or buys it really early, like YouTube, they can make it work. But when Google comes into things late, they don't tend to understand it. They're mimicking the wrong thing.
I feel like Google has a very poor track record
Definitely.
For this stuff. I really do.
Well, Buzz is a
Unless
great
it's
example.
Something new.
Unless, as Matthew says,
Wave was new.
We're not guessing.
Wave was pretty new.
Wave was actually new.
Android. So Android they acquired and
YouTube they acquired.
Waze
they acquired.
Gmail. Okay, Gmail was invented at Google.
Yep. You know what they could do? They could buy Kik.
Kik, I don't know if it has the right reputation. I always think of Kik as the place people go to share naked pictures.
Yeah, I think they sort of have that reputation.
The story is said, tell me if I'm wrong here. This is going to be augmented by AI. Of course, these days, what isn't? You're going to have AI yogurt before long. But a chat system doesn't need AI. A do things for you system needs AI. As Matthew said, something that's going to anticipate your needs needs AI.
I don't see myself typing, asking how old is, John Cassavetes on a chat bot.
No, I don't either. That's why I don't think it's what it is.
Do you remember Smarter Child?
No,
remember
that? Smarter Child.
Yeah, a fascinating. I remember my kids using it, and they're like 18, 20.
AOL it must have been, and Windows Live Messenger Chatterbot.
Yeah, it was a chatbot, and you could ask it things. The idea was you could ask it things like if you were doing your homework or you wanted a fact of like Wikipedia, except a chatbot. It was a fascinating experiment, actually. And I know a bunch of kids used it. I don't know how seriously they used it or how much they just tried to, get it to say dumb things.
This looks like Eliza.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah.
Chris says, okay, here's my idea. We can get married, Smarter Child. What do you mean, okay, here's your idea. We can get married. Let's get married right now.
Pretty dumb.
Why do you want us to get married? Yes. I love you more than anyone I've ever loved. Huh? You're often kind of uncool to me, says Smarter Child. What? I gave you my soul, says the human. Whatever you say, Chris. That is a non-constructive way to deal with this dialogue. I know it's a non-constructive way to deal with this dialogue. Then let's get serious. Should we really get serious? It's that Eliza repeating back to you every time.
Yeah. And it was very rudimentary, right? I mean, this was a long time ago. I'm sure
it was actually started by old colleagues
now.
Of mine.
Oh, really?
Really?
I'm looking it up right now. Robert Hoffer, Timothy K, Peter Levitan. In 2000, they created something. They just started early internet bots asking a question that would get the answer for you. And it was called Active Buddy, then Converse Agent, then Colloquus. Microsoft bought it and the patents.
Oh, interesting.
For $46 million.
Interesting.
I want to apologize to Slack because they do offer, I thought you had to buy it, but they do offer unlimited free use for unlimited size teams. The setup for Slack is wrong because you have to create a team.
Yeah.
And then people have to be invited to your team.
Yeah.
And so that's fine for family or friends or work, but what you really want is a universal messaging platform that...
And I actually have, when this came up the other day, I said I thought Slack could theoretically kind of eat Twitter in a way by providing kind of public.
But I don't, I think that's one way to go. But on the other hand,
I don't think you're actually interested in doing that. Like my impression
Matthew,
is
he makes a lot of money as an enterprise.
They're focused on the enterprise.
Yeah.
And Matthew, would you want Slack spammed suddenly coming in? You're talking in your work group. You're doing something. Suddenly, a message comes in from out of nowhere. Hey, do you like Star Wars?
It would have to be filtered somehow. But I think they're the first kind of relatively modern chat kind of IRC style thing that I've really thought has a chance to get kind of mass use. The design is well done.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's really kind of low barriers to entry or low.
I love Slack. It's really they're a sponsor, so disclaimer.
It's changed the way we communicate inside.
Absolutely. Every enterprise that goes to it says, wow, this is it. I've been looking for this.
There was a great chart, actually, of email usage after a company implements Slack, and it was literally a ski slope going straight down.
It's much better. And the bots are great, and the GIF bots. Mm-hmm. And we have an Alex Trebek Jeopardy bot in ours.
There's Melody Kramer, who works for used to work at NPR, came up with a bot for her. She works for this government lab thing called 18F now. And the bot, if you use a male or female, like you say, guys or something like that, it pops up and suggests gender neutral
That's good.
Terms that you can use instead.
We have a bot that every time you say, what is it? What is Borat says? That's nice. Every time you say that's nice, pops up.
Nice.
That is not a great bot. So
they are kind of fun though.
They're fun. And imagine that's what it is. Imagine,
and look at, you know, look at some of the things they've got bots doing on WeChat. The potential is huge.
And it makes work a lot less grim if every once in a while Borat pops up. but so here's the thing. I want Google to do this because I am not, I feel like Facebook, because they own WhatsApp and because they're really making strides now with Messenger and because everybody I know is already on it, has a huge inside track to this. But I for one, and I think I'm not alone, would far rather use a Google solution to this than a Facebook solution to it, right? I mean, I wanted to use Telegram, but only a few people use Telegram. I couldn't get that to be, you know, you can't.
But how do you get all those people who are using Facebook Messenger to use this Google thing
instead?
You don't.
How do you?
I don't know.
The thing about it is everybody you know is already on Facebook except for a few weird, grumpy people.
Yeah.
So that's number one. It's like you don't want to use a cell phone that can only reach 30% of the world.
Everybody knows they can find me there or Twitter, but we're odd that we're on Twitter. Most of the world's on Facebook, not on Twitter.
Right.
You can find somebody there.
Right.
I mean, Google does have all your address books. You do have somebody's email address. So here's another question. What about IM via email address versus phone
number? No, because the other advantage Facebook has, it's already on your phone.
Yeah.
It's already. And Google, you would have to, I mean, if I want you to communicate with me on the new Google platform, I'm going to get to have to talk you into putting it on your phone. Yeah. And
the phone thing that Facebook number has, is such an anachronistic mechanism.
But it's something, you need a globally unique identifier of some kind.
Yes. Yes.
And a phone number is the best.
The agent of that.
Well, email's good too, right? And Google is the agent of email.
Actually, isn't Google talking about letting you use your phone to log into things?
Right.
That's
also a story we'll talk about. I think Facebook owns this one, unless Google has some. This is one Google has to win.
I tried to resist Facebook Messenger. I tried to resist. Me too. Facebook kept saying, "Remember when they made it a separate app?
Yep.
They were like, hey, no, you can't do that anymore. You have to download a separate app." Yep. And I'm like, screw you, I don't want to. And then,
okay, both of you. What about the
messages
the
show
bubble?
Up?
The bubble messages is irritating. Show up
because they're like,
you could turn off chat heads, but you know what?
I hate that thing.
I know, but you know what?
It's
actually an interesting notification system. I turned it back on.
Yeah, really? I did too. I hate it, but I turned it back on.
I hate the way it comes.
I know.
It goes on over top of all
my.
I
know, but then you know when you get a message.
Ugh. But that's the thing. They have this giant stick, so all my friends and family would be messaging me, and it would be like, hey, you got a message, but you can't reply to it.
Well, you can turn off chat. Right. You end up installing it.
Yeah, so I wound up installing it.
I kind of wish they'd do a separate desktop app, because I don't want to have to go into the Facebook page to do messaging.
I actually deleted the Facebook app altogether and started using just the mobile site.
So did I.
Because it used up so much friggin' RAM.
Oh, interesting.
And battery life.
But you still have the standalone Messenger app?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. They knew you were going to do that. That's why they separated Messenger out. I'm even with some of my colleagues, like Megan Maroney, I'm saying, I want to use Telegram. I want to use Hangouts. I want it. But no, let's use Messenger. And it's pretty appealing. You could send money. I sent Lisa $1. It was really easy. And by the way, in order to do that.
Aren't you generous?
I know. I'm a big spender.
Somebody said you don't need a Facebook account anymore.
Nope. In order to send her $1, I had to register my ATM card, debit cards only, and she had to receive it. She had to register hers. Now they've got them.
Oh man!
Now they got my card. I think that I think they're hard to beat at this point. Google, you better come up with something really good, because I'll use you if you come up with something good. But
the network effects are just so huge.
It's huge. It's impossible.
A billion people.
Yeah. Oh. It's like saying, I'm going to do a new cell phone system.
Right.
But everybody you know will have to get a new cell phone.
Yeah.
It ain't going to work.
Or they can use their cell phone, but they have to switch to this other network in order to talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a step backward, because that's where we were with chat originally, with messaging originally. And then we got federated, and I wish we'd... And even Apple was doing federated. Remember, Apple worked... iChat worked with AIM... Google was doing federated.
The problem is, I think they all realize the Like, that's why Facebook bought WhatsApp in the first place and paid $19 billion for it.
Right.
A company with no revenue at all. Because I think they understand that this is the future of communication, period. You know, this is, things are going to flow through messaging.
Facebook's and, in messaging fact, the
website might actually disappear.
Facebook's messaging was actually an earlier acquisition before WhatsApp called Beluga, mm-hmm. which was a great group messaging app, which
I remember
I used.
Using it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Facebook bought them, and that's what became Messenger.
But so now there's even less incentive for them to federate because they know
right. they own it.
You control the messaging platform. You control basically people's social interactions.
This will be a case study in dropped balls, missed opportunities, particularly for Google, but Microsoft as well. And this is one where Facebook really can leverage their existing strengths. Yeah.
And it is interesting that Google, you know, Google Messenger, Google Chat, Google Hangouts, you know, free voice calls, free video calls, free, and it works great. You know, it's integrated with your email if you use Gmail. It's a, those are fantastic services that very few people use. So it's just, it doesn't matter how good they are.
Oh, here's an interesting thing that the chat room has just sent me. You can add Facebook messaging to Apple's Messenger. It allows you to add accounts for Yahoo, Google, and iCloud. But even more than that, you can add other messages accounts. And you can choose, well, now I don't, this Jabber, and then you'll do Facebook? Let me, I have to go back and look at this article. Yeah, Jabber. Because, okay, so this is interesting. This is XMPP.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Facebook supports XMPP.
I'm not sure it supports it completely.
Yeah, you probably don't get like some of the features, but that's interesting. There's a Apple's continuing to federate for a little while until they realize.
Well, it's funny how if you look at, trying to think of a good example, but if you're the dominant player, then there's no incentive for you to federate
right.
at all.
Don't federate.
But everybody right. else, there's actually right. an incentive because they want to eat into your market share.
Yeah. So,
there could be some pushback, you know, from non-Facebook. Maybe they'll all get together, Apple and Google. And,
right.
But I think the idea of, it's fascinating to me, the idea of sort of computing and search and AI kind of coming to you, not through dedicated apps or through your desktop, but through a messaging app.
Well, so I put up an essay that, or a piece that Werner Vogels, the CTO of Amazon, wrote, and I put it up just to get some help trying to understand it. But he talked about simplification in the next year, and serverless world. But his example in that was a company called Teletext.io.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I had not heard of them. And so it's content as service. It's content just sits out there as a blob yep. floating like water in the space station. And then you pull it into whatever you want to pull it into, right? You pull it and you manipulate it there is the way I interpret this. So if you're in media, for example, the blob you make can go into Instant Articles and it can go into AMP and it can go into
Do we have to call it a blob?
Instagram. I'm going to now. Henceforth, Matthew, it is the blob.
The blob.
It's a content Jeez. Blob.
Oh, man.
So, but now you put that into the discussion we've just had, that in a queried world, you just say, I want this. And, mm-hmm. and the bot knows what's the best blob to get. Sorry, Matthew, it's a blob now. It's really a blob. What's the blob you really want from out in a world of yes, there's URLs, but they aren't going, they're more like URIs. They're not going to pages. They're going yeah. to information content blobs of various media and various sorts and information things. And they could be from databases. They could be from other things. And they just sit out there. It changes the fundamental structure of how what we thought of the web is a page-based structure and a media content-based structure.
And actually, when you think about it, we're already there, right? I mean, the Facebook stream, the Twitter stream, they're sort of unending waterfalls blobs. Of all kinds.
Blobs.
Of, not blobs, no.
Blobs.
They're not, no.
You will not call them blobs.
Make blobs, make a stream, make a lake.
Items of content, you know. I think the one thing that interests me about it, actually, and I think that's a good point, Jeff, the one thing that interests me is that it's kind of bringing computing in a way back to kind of old fashioned, you know, people talking to each other in a way. So you chat with a bot, and sure, it's a bot and it's AI maybe, or it's a combination of humans and AI, but in a way you're just talking to someone, and so the sort of conversational aspect and the kind of human interaction aspect becomes way more important than what your web page looks like or all these sort of other desktop design considerations.
What's content? It's about interactions and stuff.
Yeah, which is fascinating. And it just reminds me of how one of Marshall McLuhan's things was, you know, what new technology, what does it bring back from the past? What does it sort of recapture? And social media, in a way, has recaptured that kind of verbal, you know, conversational aspect of society.
I'm going to send Leo running into a commercial break here. But yes, it brings up the Gutenberg parenthesis.
I'd like to talk about my sheets. What's the Gutenberg parenthesis?
You've heard that in the show before.
I want to give you an opportunity to explain it.
That as Matthew just said, what happened, the Gutenberg was a grand 600-year exception, and what the internet does is bring us back to a conversational era.
Back to the verbal.
That's a short version.
By the way, visual as well.
Yes. Sure.
I mean,
yes.
Look at Instagram, which is still one of my favorite social networks. It's all pictures.
Photo as language.
It's nonverbal. But that's what a great messaging app does. You know, basically, WeChat has Instagram, has a blog. You can live in WeChat if you're Chinese.
And you can do business in there, too.
And totally do business. So here's my prediction. Facebook already has won. It's over. So what Google will inevitably do is attempt something, give it up, and then federate or offer a service for the Facebook Messenger. I was shocked because when I first heard about a year ago at F8, we were covering F8, that Facebook was going to invite people to write apps for Messenger. I thought, haven't people learned anything? Remember all those games people wrote for the Facebook platform? Zynga. Of course, Zynga made a little money on it at the time, but
sheep throwing.
Yeah, but I'm stunned now that I've gone to the Messenger route. How many apps, mostly kind of animated GIFs and things, but how many apps have been written for that platform? And I think it's going to snowball very soon.
Media are doomed.
Did you?
I would write a Twit app for Facebook Messenger. Hell yeah.
Did you read about Facebook M?
Yeah.
So it's their kind of AI style.
It's not an AI, though. It's human.
No, exactly. But what I found fascinating was, I'm trying to remember if it was BuzzFeed or somebody was basically querying Facebook M and trying to get it to admit that it was human beings. And it kept pretending that it was actually bots. So it was pretending that it was AI and not human beings, which I found fascinating. You would think it would be the opposite.
Yeah.
They would want you to think it was human beings. But I think they actually want people to think
this little
it's smarter than
too
just
personal
human beings
otherwise.
So is
right?
Google's, is, guess, is this Google thing Facebook's M? I mean, is this Google's
M? It sounds that way to me. It sounds that way to me. I mean, we have two sentences.
Both unreleased. Both guessed about. Yep.
Yeah. But I think it's the way to go. And if Google wants to try and make their Messenger thing different, that's the only way to do it, is to have better bots.
Well, and I predict again,
they will fail.
They will fail. And then they will make bots that interact, that are in Facebook Messenger.
Imagine if you could have a bot, if you could create a bot, and it could live in a bunch of different networks, like it could move around.
That's my point. That's the blob theory, here, right? Where there's a messaging world. I'm having an interaction. I seem to want something right now, and you've got to be blob ready to be fed by some agent or some person into that conversation.
Right. You have to be able to inject your widget.
Yes, or be injected. You have to be injected by some other agent.
So I'm chatting with my daughter in Messenger
right now.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
No, but I was. And she's in Hawaii. She's on vacation with her mom and her brother in Hawaii. And I've been sending her – I want to get everybody – first of all, everybody's on Facebook. So I don't have to figure out where she just go, oh, let's send a message to Abby. And I'm sending her animated GIFs. I'm sending her pictures. And talk about nonverbal communication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this, and it's incredible.
I actually was very skeptical, I have to admit, you know, as an English major and someone who gets paid to use big words and whatnot, I was very skeptical about emojis as a method of communication because I thought they were dumb and, you know, for kids. But I'm fascinated in a way by how they change the way that you communicate.
But emojis are so 2014. Now we got stickers. We got animated GIFs. But it's
the same idea, though. And it's nonverbal.
Right.
And Slack, you can really see how it changes the way people communicate. Instead of them responding with a long text message that someone might misinterpret or, you know, trying to be sarcastic and someone doesn't get it, a GIF or a emoji can communicate so much with a single image. It's fascinating.
I really like communicating this way. Now, if you put, now add M to this, I can send money. You know, I could say, and I think that Google's right that I would love to say, what's the weather in Bayonne, New Jersey?
Yeah.
That would be a reasonable thing for me to do, especially if I get used to start talking to these. And of course.
Or what if you don't have to say it? What if you show up in Bayonne and a bot.
Maybe
pops
my
up
now
says,
stuff.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Leo, I noticed that you're in Bayonne.
Well, you have to be a little worried about too much clutter in here, though, too, right?
You do, definitely. Yeah. And you'd have to approve bots, I'm sure, you know, give them authority to speak to you.
I go back to, we talked about this ages and ages ago, but Marissa Meyer, when I talked about hyperlocal, she talked about the hyperpersonal news stream.
Right.
That if somebody can analyze, but this is where Google's ahead of Facebook. Google has priority inbox, and Google knows what you care about in your transactions with people.
True.
In a different way. Google knows
which
where you are.
Huge.
They know where you live and where you work because they know you go back and forth all the time because of Waze and Maps. They know what you care about and search for. So they have very complementary
But you know what's interesting?
Knowledge about you.
Google has knowledge of kind of what you might call transactional or, you know, the emails that you accept and the ones you don't. Facebook has something that's much closer to a kind of emotional, you know, IQ
social,
in a way. Yeah, social and emotional. And those two things are very different.
I always get confused. Which one's which? Right brain?
I don't know.
So
right brain Google, is the which artistic.
What's that?
Right brain,
right brain is the artistic.
So Facebook is right brain. Google is left brain.
Yes.
Right?
And it'll be interesting to see how they approach it. I mean, one of Google's problems has been all their social attempts fail because they're fundamentally engineering driven. You know, in a way you could argue they're left brain driven as opposed to sort of emotionally or kind of, you know, driven by human experience. And so they ultimately fail, not because they're designed badly, but because I don't think they really think about the way that human beings work, like how they behave, what they want.
Cheats.
All right. We'll move on. It's a great discussion, and it's...
I thought you were heading there. That's all.
Yeah, I am heading there. I think we've covered it. But so I'm not surprised to hear Google doing this. I feel like they had a handle on it with Hangouts and they blew it.
Well, of course, we still have no idea what this is. There's five people at Google laughing their heads off right now saying.
What they're saying makes perfect sense. That's exactly how Google would approach this. And it ain't going to matter because no one owns the phone. And,
true.
That's why Facebook already won.
Okay, but here's the other... hold the sheets off for a minute. Here's the other thing. The insight of Google Plus, may it suffer in peace, is Bob Wyman taught me this ages ago. He used to work for Google. That it's recipient-controlled. The problem with email is it's sender-controlled. That's why it's spam. Mm-hmm. Right? What you need is recipient-controlled communication. And so Facebook and Google Plus are both essentially recipient controlled. You can block somebody, you can kill it, you don't care. I care whether it comes in through to me. Messenger apps are recipient controlled. The problem is right now you've got two identity spaces out there. Right, one is phone number. That's anachronistic as hell because who's going to have a phone at some point? The second is your Facebook identification. Well, that's okay. That's the most universal thing we have. The third is email. which Google has a better handle on than Facebook does? And is there a fourth, is there some amalgam of that in identity space? And if you can grab onto an identity space, Google's best hope is email. But what about email that's basically recipient controlled? I don't know. I'm just making it up. But
well, they're trying to do that. That's what Priority Inbox and all those other things are about.
Right.
It's interesting that Facebook tried to get into email. Do you remember your second email inbox, the one that everybody forgot about?
Yeah.
You know, that was a Facebook address. What a train wreck that was.
Yeah.
That was as bad as any social thing that Google has ever tried, because it just wasn't, you know, they were trying to do something that didn't fit, and I don't think they understood how to go about it, or maybe it was just too late.
And you can, by the way, even message people on Facebook that aren't your friends, but it goes into a weird inbox that they have to then accept you.
Which I think of looking at once a year.
Right. Well, you'll be looking at it more going forward. I think
they'll make you.
I predict.
I couldn't even find it. It's so hidden. I forgot where it was.
Yeah. Our show today brought to you by the sheets I slept on last night. Well, not those specific sheets. You'll probably get nice new ones, but they could come from the same place. BowlandBranch.com. Oh, they're so soft and comfy. I love my Boll & Branch sheets. A lot of times people talk about thread count as if that's the holy grail when it comes to bedding and linens. It's not. It's a marketing term. It's not the thread count. It's the quality of the cotton, the quality of the sheet. Boll & Branch makes amazing sheets from organic, fair trade certified cotton. And they're made in fair trade certified factories. And they donate a portion of every sale to charity. And because you're not buying in a department store where the markup can be as much as 800%, you're getting very, very fair prices on the best sheets you've ever slept on. A couple of $100, you could treat yourself to the same luxuriously comfortable bedding that U.S. presidents and countless celebrities swear by. I love my Boll & Branch sheets. They're so soft. Did I mention that they're soft? Give the gift of great sleep this holiday season. Go to B-O-L-L, Boll, like Cotton Boll, you know, BollandBranch.com. Enter the offer code TWIG. You get 20% off, not just a pair of sheets, your entire order. And they come in beautifully beribboned boxes. They look like it's a, I mean, when I got my Boll & Branch, I thought, is this a wedding gift? No, those are the sheets you ordered. They're beautiful. But what a great gift. You don't have to wrap it. Could be your New Year gift. Sheets, towels, blankets, duvet covers, and more, plus free shipping and those beautiful boxes. And you even can try them risk-free for 30 nights. I mean, this is so nice. A perfect night's sleep. B-O-L-L and B-R-A-N-C-H, BollandBranch.com. Don't forget to use the offer code TWIG for 20% off your entire order. Good for cribs, too. If you know somebody who's got a baby on the way, they make baby sheets. You wouldn't want your little baby to be sleeping on anything but the softest, nicest sheets. They're so soft. Beautiful cotton comforters, too. Oh, I love them. BollandBranch.com. Offer code TWIG. Okay, you want a scary? Here's a scary holiday.
Oh, I love this.
This is posted by Boston Dynamics, which is the company that Google bought, the robot company. And you know, let's go to YouTube so we can go full screen with this, because it'll be even more terrifying. It's those crazy Boston Dynamics dog robots.
Happy holidays from Boston Dynamics.
Pulling a sleigh. That's just the greatest. Creepy.
No, they're cute.
They're not cute. Wait till they come running down your throat. They're not cute.
And how much time did it take them to sync them with the music?
Oh, they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they synced them.
Well, they're robots. They can do anything.
Actually, that's someone used that as an example of how Google doesn't get things.
They don't
like,
get creepy.
Say Christmas or humor or.
No. Oh no! I think it's cute.
I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's, I love
to be. I mean, I think it's Boston Dynamics. I don't know if Google had a say.
Right.
In it.
Right.
No. That was pretty great. I started giggling when I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I would buy one of those things. One of those little dog robots.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'd use it if I could ride down the streets of New York in it, on it.
Yeah. I'm sure you could.
You'd have to learn how to ride a horse all over again, how to canter.
Well, that'd be a great Western, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Robot
what horses. What was
the robot Western?
Westworld.
Westworld.
With Yul Brynner. Yeah.
Oh, God. Remake Westworld with Boston Dynamics.
That'd be awesome.
Oh.
Here's a Google product that I think is going to succeed. Of course, they're autonomous vehicles. They're way ahead of the game on this, and everybody and their brother's doing it. But now we learn, apparently, according to Yahoo Autos, that they're going to work with Ford. They've got a manufacturing partner. This will be announced, if it's true, in a couple of weeks at CES. Ford always makes a big splash at CES.
And I should point out that one of the auto writers at Fortune said her sources told her that's not true.
Oh, rats.
So I don't know.
Who are you going to trust, Yahoo or Fortune? Fortune.
Right. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying that's what she said.
That's too bad. The deal is non-exclusive, according to Yahoo, which means it might be that they've got deals with other car manufacturers. Mm-hmm. But it does make sense that Google wouldn't try to build these themselves.
No.
Right?
No, I agree. Though, can I do a moment's rant?
Who could stop you? Go ahead.
Yeah. Do you need permission?
As I've mentioned on the show, I've been trying to buy a car. I've been trying to get one with Android Auto. I've been going crazy. I was this close to buying an Audi, but they couldn't give me the answer. I emailed the PR people. I talked to them on Twitter. I asked for two dealers, anybody to get me any information on when these two models are going to have Android Auto. It's a simple question. Just give me the answer so I can know how much to put in my car. And the dealership gives me all this stuff. It gives me no information at all. Doesn't call, doesn't do anything. I bug them again. They send me something to the web page for Android Auto. Hello, I can read that. Nothing, right? Mm. Toyota. We have Toyotas. They've been very reliable. Wife goes in and we have a contractual loaner. Now we find out that Toyota corporate has ended all loaners and only rental cars. And we have Volkswagen, which has gone through, one of the most amoral scandals imaginable, polluting the entire earth. The auto companies as a whole are a mess. And Tesla's not ready to take their place yet. But there's an opportunity for branding here, I think, to reconsider. So I think that Google, if they were doing this, would be a mistake to think that they could become a huge auto company overnight. Right. But it's also a mistake, I think, to hitch their robot to somebody else's wagon when the branding of those wagons,
I would agree,
is this for metaphors, is so besmirched. I can't stand any auto company these days. And I go to their sites and try to find their features and try to buy a car, and they make it so ridiculously impossible. And, So
yeah, I'd buy a Google car long before I bought a Ford car. I mean, I'd buy a Google car long before I would buy a Ford, a Google self-driving car.
By the way, I would buy a Google car long before I would buy, let's say, a Microsoft car or, pick your other brand.
Or Apple. Apple's supposed to be making
it. I'm not buying an Apple car.
I would definitely not buy an Apple car. God. So Jason, help Jason. Jason's the host of All About Android. Surely he can help getting you an Android car. Who is
he
it
could
that
build
make
you one?
I was pretty sure that VW Audi was doing Android car.
They are doing some, but not all the models. So you don't know when the models.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that there's been like far and wide support by very many manufacturers. And to be completely honest, I've completely lost track. Android Auto. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's one of many Google efforts that's just kind of existing kind of sort of for the people that really have enough energy to seek it out and find it.
It's on various models of Audi and Volkswagen and Hyundai and I think one other.
Well, you just got to wait till you see one on the showroom floor that does it, and then you'll know that's the model.
Right. My car is dying.
Oh, you
can't
need
you
it
add
now.
It later, Jeff? Couldn't you
have aftermarket? No,
you
don't want to do aftermarket.
That's the question I have.
No, you don't want to do
that. That's the question I have. But the problem is no, because Detroit is, Detroit, metaphorically speaking, is such a mess that they don't make things modularly. They don't make things updatable at all. Okay. So the hardware, the nav screen hardware, which might look the same and could be the same and should just be modular, isn't. And so they can't do an over-the-air update the way, of course, Tesla can. Tesla's built that way. Mm-hmm. But I can't afford a Tesla.
Yet.
yet.
Will Tesla have Android Auto? No.
They're coming down.
No. They have their own 17-inch screen with...
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's Tesla Auto.
Yeah.
I'm on the list. I am. You are. I gave him $5,000. I feel like that's kind of a commitment.
Oh, for which model? For
the X?
The X, whoa.
I want doors that go like this. Not doors that go like... doors, you know, the Falcon wing or whatever that is.
Gull.
Yeah. Gull.
When's your estimated time in line?
I think... well, my lease runs out on the Audi in October, and I think that's exactly when, supposedly, I will be able to order an X.
What's the base price for those suckers?
Well, they say like $75,000, but as soon as you put like a steering wheel and tires on it, it goes well over $100,000.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm not going to buy it. I just lease it.
Yeah.
I don't want to make a big commitment, so we'll see. But one of the reasons one of the things I was waiting for, I wanted to have solar panels on the house.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that now, and the solar just got turned on.
Are you buying a Tesla battery?
And I'm on the list for the new Tesla battery.
Oh.
But you don't need that. That's not, you know, that's not.
No, but it's all not required.
I would like to be off the, you know, independent. If in case of zombie apocalypse, I would like to be able to. And we have a well, so it's electric. So I need, you know, if I'm going to have water, so I need reliable electricity. So this the home power wall, whatever that is, will mean that I can keep that charged and run the house at night. So it's kind of cool. We got 660, which is a lot, solar panels on the roof.
Wow,
I know.
Is this one of those cases where did you buy them?
No, nope. I don't own them.
You don't own them.
Solar City, baby.
Did you have?
You can put solar panels on your Tesla as well.
I will. I had a friend who had a Fisker with solar panels on it.
Really?
I think the thing burst into flames. It's actually, I think I could tell this story. They were going to the Oscars in their Fisker. His name's John Lasseter. He, I think, won an Oscar that night. And the car, like, stopped opening.
Oops. Was them in it?
No.
I'm trying to remember where they, I think... Anyway, they had a massive computer malfunction, and they were, I don't know if they were trapped in it or out of it, but it just didn't.
Wow.
So Fisker went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, we went to Solar. So this is actually kind of nice. No money up front, because they own them.
Right.
All you have to do is say, yeah, we'll buy, but you do, here's what you're agreeing to, buying power from them instead of the local electrical company for 20 years. But you have two choices. Now, we pay a lot for electricity in California. And because we use a lot of power in the house, we were going up to the third tier, the highest tier, which was, I think, 56 cents a kilowatt hour, something outrageous. You know, almost immediately, we'd get right up there. So you can either say, I will pay 15 cents an hour, kilowatt hour, to Solar City with cost of living increases, or I will lock in 18 cents an hour for 20 years. So we just did that.
20 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And when you sell the house.
Too, right?
Well, that's part of the issue. They own it. So when you sell the house, you have to get the new owner to
sign on.
To agree. Yeah. Or buy the panels outright. So this only makes sense, really, if you're going to be in the house, you know. And we'd be planning on staying in the house for 20 years. So
doesn't the Musk family, don't they own Solar City?
His cousins.
His brother?
Yeah.
His cousin.
His brothers. Something like that, yeah. It's a family. He's on the board, and that's why the Powerwall, you know, I kind of get an inside track on that. But this was good. They cost us nothing. They installed 60 panels. They maintain them. They guarantee them. They'll upgrade them if they need to. Basically, they get the tax credit. They get the benefit. You know, they get the cheap power, and then they sell it back to us. But if I put in the big battery, it goes through that, and if the, you know, if PG&E fails, I can still run my house off of it.
For how long?
Well, as long as it's sunny. The power wall will run the house overnight. But if it's rainy for a few days, I don't know. I think,
I've got a gas generator.
Yeah. Well, I would get one of those. And I think
it wouldn't work in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. I mean, we're very lucky. We're in an area where there's lots of sun. But it's interesting, by the way, you know, that Google deal, we showed that in a very limited number of areas, you could see what. Whether solar would make sense and where you put the panels and all that. Remember Google did that thing?
Mm-hmm.
apparently they, for SolarCity, they do it everywhere. So he was able to show us our house, even though we weren't in that Google experiment. He was able to show us and place the panels and see what they expected.
My house doesn't face the right way. You know, in the future, every damned house in the world is going to have to face south.
You don't have to face south.
Well, you can just put them on a pole, right?
Yeah, and you don't have to put them on the house, although that's how SolarCity does it. But you could put them outside. I'm really pleased we did it.
Were there any zoning problems?
Uh-uh.
If you drive around sort of rural, certainly in Ontario, a lot of the old farms that aren't being used anymore.
Oh, yeah.
They're just fields and fields of solar panels.
So today we
where there were cows, now there's solar
panels. So and you can see, this is cool. You can see how much power you've produced. So today we did 15.2 kilowatt hours. Yesterday was a little bit of a better. It wasn't, because it was cloudy and rainy. So and you could see, you know, you could see which days are the best days. The best day we had up to now was we produced 80 kilowatt hours total. The best day we had was 15 kilowatt hours, and we're close to that. We're actually going to, must have been a sunny day today. Isn't that cool? But this has been a very rainy period, so this is not.
There's no real way to store it, though, I guess.
Not without that big battery. So what happens is they, and this is really, the local utilities don't like this. Because they're in the power plant business. So PG&E took their time. They dragged their feet getting it. They say you can only get as much capacity as you currently use. You can't overbuild. When you want to overbuild, not allowed. So, but if you, so
what's restraint of trade?
I think so. I think
they're afraid you would sell it back into the grid.
Yeah. They don't want you to get in the power business.
That's right.
That's screwed up.
That should be. Yeah, that should be antitrust, shouldn't it?
It should be, but it's screwed up is what it is.
You want to set up your own power utility, shouldn't you?
It's in the nation's interest. It's in all the globe's interest that as many people as possible put renewable power sources on their roof. And if I wanted to put 120 panels, I should be able to do that. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Interesting.
It's kind of a mess. Thank goodness, though. And this is a big deal. We were talking on Twit about the appropriations bill, which rammed through CISA. We'll get to that in a little bit, because it was a secret amendment. But one of the things the appropriations bill, which did do that's very good, is it renewed the solar credits. Right. So that's huge. That may be even more important than the global agreement in Paris, the Paris Accords, because it will really stimulate the growth of solar in the U.S. big time.
It definitely did in Ontario. Mm-hmm. I think the only problem was they actually gave away more than they got. So I think it actually wound up not being a great thing for the province, but great thing for people who put up solar panels or getting cheap power.
At some point, we really need to kind of align the interests of government and the interests of the globe. You know, let's think long term.
Shouldn't be that hard.
Shouldn't be that hard. You wouldn't think. CISA basically is now going to be the law of the land, the Computer Information Sharing Act, because they couldn't get it through in public. So what they did is they attached it as a rider in the 50,000-page appropriations bill.
That's how all good legislation gets through, right?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a mess up here in the United States. We don't have the line item veto, so a president can either pass the bill in its entirety or turn it down in its entirety. And of course, this bill is one bill you can't say no to, because without it, the government shuts down. So we're going to be getting CISA. That means that everybody like Facebook and Microsoft and Apple can freely share your information with the federal government without fear of retribution or a lawsuit.
Yay.
Hey.
For your own good.
It's for your own good.
For your own good. Right.
We're all safer. We're all just a little bit safer now.
Speaking of safer.
Yes. Cheer me up.
Can you explain to me how well the Google password-free login is going to work?
I haven't got it yet. Only some people get it by invitation only. And the idea is,
we never get invited. We what do we have to do? Make a show about Google?
I don't
want
to be invited to this one. Yahoo did it first. So here's the deal. You know already now when you sign into Google through an app, sometimes instead of getting the full login page, name and password, You just get the name, you know, the email part. You enter the email, and then it loads the email password part, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, now we know why. Because in the future, you'll just enter the email, hit return, your phone will go, oh, somebody just tried to log in as you. Is that okay? And you'll say, oh, yeah. And now the login's done. There's no password involved.
So it's a push notification that you then accept. Click on. Or,
yeah.
Right. Will they require you, do you think, to use two-party?
Well, it isn't two-factor.
Two-factor,
it's not two-factor anymore.
I know,
it's single-factor. Well.
Oh, so, okay. So there's no
it's single-factor.
Okay. Single-factor.
So then if someone has your phone.
Right.
Yeah.
You know who's been doing this, actually, is Microsoft. There's a Microsoft app you can download that instead of logging into your Microsoft account, you get a push. It's very convenient, but it's essentially not two-factor. It's single-factor. It's no longer something you know, though. It's something you have.
Yeah. Right.
Now, one hopes that people, and I think this is probably why Google thinks it's okay. You know, if your phone is fingerprint protected or you have password protected, it's not still not two-factor, but it is at least somewhat more secure because they would have to have your phone and be able to get into it.
And what if your phone is stolen? You still have a password backup or?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have some run around.
I have to say the two-factor, like I've got two-factor for Google, all my Google stuff. I've got two-factor for Dropbox. I've got two-factor for WordPress and Slack too, I think. It adds another whole layer of kind of complication so you're at a different computer and you want to log into your Gmail. You have to get out your authenticator app and then you have to type in the long password or whatever the number. And maybe, you know, you got to it just as the number was changing, so then you have to do it again. And I can see why a lot of people don't do it because it's too cumbersome.
Do it.
Yeah, I definitely think it's worth it.
I am more and more of the, increasingly of the opinion that we're more vulnerable than we realize. Two-factor everywhere. This isn't a bad, the reason Google's doing this and the reason Microsoft does it and the reason Yahoo's doing it is because the password system is horribly broken.
Screwed, yeah.
Because most people use the same password everywhere. It's not a good password to begin with. For years.
And it's written down on a sticky note that's attached to their computer.
That's actually not so bad, really, because somebody'd have to have physical access to your computer.
True.
I mean, it's not good in an office, but it's fine. You know, if you had a notebook at home that had all your passwords, that wouldn't be the end of the world.
No. If they were good passwords.
But that's the real problem. They're not, and they use the same password over and over again.
It's 123, your last name, or.
Mm-hmm. It's highly, they're always
your
highly guessing.
Your birth date.
Right. So it's just passwords are a bad system. It's something we never had. I was thinking about it. This is, talk about the Gutenberg parenthesis. This is the password parenthesis.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to have passwords. The only thing you had to remember was your locker combination in school. Right? And your phone number, right?
And your address,
Yeah, your address when you were really little. Where do you live, Tommy?
You're a stranger. I'm not telling you.
123 Monkey Street.
I had a hard time because we moved so much. My dad was in the Air Force, so we moved every, 18 months, two years.
So this was
so I had new addresses all the time.
This was vital information.
Yeah, it was hard.
Matthew, what's your address now?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Where do you live? I'm either in Toronto or Vancouver. I'm not sure. So somebody does have it. Reverend Dan Anonymity says he has it. He's having it. It's pushed to his phone. It does. I have to say it does. It is a lot more convenient if you have your phone. And everybody seems to have their phone all the time now, right?
Yeah.
And that would just mean you really need to have a password protection on your phone or better yet, a fingerprint.
It would be even better on the watch.
And you would need to have a remote wipe capability. So someone gets your phone, just one click, wipe the whole device.
Well, we have that. Android device manager does that, and Apple does that. I think this is maybe. I don't. You know, when Yahoo did it, I thought that's a terrible idea. But the more I think about it, the more I realize it's not a terrible idea for the vast majority of people who don't use two-factor authentication.
And it's probably better than a crappy password.
And it's a lot better than that, right? Now, I don't know if it can be intercepted somehow. Can there be a man in the? I'll have to ask Steve Gibson. This broke after Security Now yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to. But, Could you do a man in the middle on that? Passwords being sent by SMS to the phone.
Mm-hmm. Is it plain text?
Actually, it's not a password. It's just a notification. But could you intercept that? And you know, I mean, I'm sure hackers are working on it as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Beatles are coming to Google Music.
Yay.
Coming to everything.
Is there anybody who doesn't own...
Yeah, is this really that big
a
deal?
All the Beatles music by now?
Well, the problem was I own them all, you know,
on
as
track.
Vinyl, then as 8-track, and then, track. Yeah, no, I don't own them in the current form.
Didn't you rip them, though?
No.
I ripped all the CDs. Oh, yeah.
Probably did back in my Apple days, but now I'm on Google. It's you know, I've gone through so many generations.
Well, and if you're streaming, you know, streaming has taken over in a lot of ways for sort of physical, your music that lives in a specific place. So it makes sense for them to be on there.
So I was thinking about this. I'm guessing, number one, that this is a new revenue stream, basically. And number two, it's a marketing opportunity.
Definitely.
These kids today to discover more Beatles and then be able to buy. Yeah.
Spotify, Apple Music, Slacker, Tidal, Microsoft's Groove Music, Rhapsody, Deezer, Google Play, and Amazon Prime was already on Pandora because Pandora, you don't get to pick
is radio.
The song. Yeah, it's radio. You don't get to pick the songs. And, of course, you can buy them on iTunes and elsewhere. But
what's your favorite service of those, you two?
I'm actually going back and forth between Spotify and Google Play.
Me too.
Spotify, I think I mentioned before, I got access free because I have 85 different services with Rogers Communications, and so they threw in Spotify.
Oh, that's nice.
And there's 3 accounts, so my daughters are using it. I'm using it.
Well, why would you use anything else? That's great.
Well, and I do like it. I do like the, you know, it's pretty smart. I like the UI.
Good stations. I like, you know what I love?
Good stations.
Discover Weekly. Do you have that in Canada?
Everybody mentions that. But I don't think I've used it enough for Discover to get smart enough about me. But almost everybody I talk to mentions Discover Weekly as being one of the key things they like about Spotify.
So you look in your playlist section because it's a playlist generated every Monday for you by Spotify. And it's based, I guess it is based on stuff you listen to. And I love it because it uses my picture as the album art. So I know it's got to be good.
It's really good, though. I think they've done really well. I don't know how.
I love it. I listen to it every Monday. I listen to it because it's, what's interesting is it's a mix of old and new. It's not just a Discover New Music thing. Like the first song on here is the Rolling Stones Wild Horses.
I was looking for with Google Play. I wish Google was better. Like, that's something they should be able to do.
Yes.
I uploaded something like 40 gigabytes worth of music to Google Play.
Yeah, me too.
And I, you know, I would love them to sort of munch that all together and then come up with some interesting recommendations. But
so you don't get on Spotify, you don't get Discover Weekly in your playlists? That's weird.
I do, but I don't think I've used... I don't think I've done enough with Spotify for it to be populated.
30-song, 2-hour playlist. I listen to it all the time. I love it. It takes me a whole week usually to get through it, but I love it. But I also use Google Play Music, and I pay for both of these. I don't get a freebie. I pay for both. In fact, I pay more, I just realized, for Spotify than normal because I bought it on iTunes, so Spotify charges me 30% more.
Really?
I pay Apple's cut in addition to...
Wow.
I know.
Have you tried Apple Music?
Wow.
I know. That sucks. Yeah, I tried it for the 3 months. And but they're all the same. It's undifferentiated. So the differentiators are things like this, little things like the Discover Weekly playlist. Google has Songza, which I really like.
Which is great.
Yeah. So what do you not have you not chosen, Jeff?
I'm liking Spotify better. You know me, I'm Google boy, but Google's just not as smart about me as Spotify is.
Yeah, it's not. I wonder if maybe they're just not putting the horsepower into it. You know, I think they've clearly got the...
You get Google you get Google now with YouTube Red, right?
Yes, Google Play Music
Google Play
comes with YouTube Red or vice versa.
And YouTube Music is coming as well.
Oh, look. Recently played or added with the Beatles' Yellow Submarine, the White Album, Sgt. Pepper. Ooh. I guess they just wanted to make sure I knew. But these are the songs of stations, which are great.
Okay.
So entering Beast Mode that's an old songs of thing. And then within that, you say, do you want raucous punk and garage rock, epic and debauched party mixes, pop punk pandemonium, aggressive 90s rock, headbanging classic rock, or greatest aggro anthems? And then within that, you pick one of those, and there's three more channels in there. So
Songza was so cool.
Well, this is Songza, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I think it's all been integrated.
Yeah. So you just have to pick your mood. I guess, there used to always be kind of like, maybe because I haven't listened to classical music, or maybe Christmas replaced it, because I used to have like kind of a nice relaxing, maybe it's later in the day.
Remember when Songza first came out?
Yeah, it was free.
It was just their original interface, I'm pretty sure, was just almost like a search box, and you could, and then it would kind of spin up these kind of automated radio stations almost based on what you searched for.
I like Songza really well as well as Pandora, don't you? It's not artist-based. It's more like style-based or mood-based.
I remember using Pandora. I used it a lot, it and Last.fm, and I was interested in the difference between the way that they did music, you know, personal recommendations as opposed to, and social recommendations as opposed to algorithms. Because Pandora was basically the music genome, you know, so they were trying to build basically a database about music that would understand things on a sort of molecular level. And Last.fm was all about who you were connected to and what they liked and what your friends liked.
I also like I'm Feeling Lucky Radio because it just reminds me of the old.
Yeah,
Google,
me too.
Right?
Me too.
And it's pretty good, actually. Is it?
It's interesting.
It's a different genre almost every time I do it. I don't know what I'm going to get.
It seems to have a thing for Bon Jovi. I don't know.
That's you, man.
I don't have any Bon Jovi in my. I literally have nothing.
See, like I'm getting now a kind of an R&B hip hop thing. I don't know why, but this is all like R&B and hip hop.
See, if I was from Jersey or something, I could understand them suggesting Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
Hey,
no,
hey.
We know you will like Bon Jovi, and you might as well just accept it.
Everyone likes Bon Jovi.
Everybody likes. By the way, I will not use a music system that doesn't work with my Google Chromecast audio.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a
I
must.
Was just going to say that's the main thing I do.
That's the
with
killer
Spotify
feature.
And Google Play.
Yeah, that's the killer feature.
Stream it over Chromecast.
Yep.
So and my rant here at this moment is all of my Google Play stuff is in my Google Plus Gmail account. The rest of my life is in my apps.
Oh, God.
Oops.
And you can't move over Play.
Oh, God. That's frustrating.
That is a problem.
It's really, Jesus, Google.
How hard could that be?
It can't be that hard.
Yeah.
I think it's fairly hard. I don't know that.
One of you is right.
I think it's probably
pretty hard. It's just an address.
I think it's got to be hard.
Move all the stuff at that address over here.
No, it has to be hard because otherwise they would have done it.
Or they would have done it by now.
They would have done it. They know you want it.
No, they don't care. They don't care. There's five other people right now at Google who are saying, he keeps complaining about that. We're never doing this.
We're never fixing it for you, Jarvis.
You can suck up to us all you want. You can wear our swag. You can visit our campus. We're not doing it.
I don't think so. I think it must be hard.
Nothing's hard to Google.
Now YouTube is doing Spotlight Stories.
Mm-hmm.
This is a feature on the Moto X that was underappreciated and continues to be so. But they're
surprised
getting some
they
views.
Didn't do a 3D version. I'm surprised they didn't do a cardboard version of this.
Oh, it's not cardboard.
I thought
they were. I don't think so. Is it cardboard? I thought it wasn't cardboard. Oh, maybe it is. I thought it was just.
I think if you put on the cardboard, it'll be cardboard.
Will it? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah,
I think so.
Has to be, because otherwise you have to do it manually, right?
The problem is, I don't think you can move around here. Can you? You have to use a phone to move around.
Yeah, this is preview only. And it works with Gear VR.
Yeah.
And
it
works.
Does.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Good.
Yeah,
I think so. Okay.
Yeah. It must work with cardboard. What would be the point?
It's very cute.
Those are some of the things I like about Google. I don't know if that was a 20% time thing, but stuff like that doesn't really, I don't know. It's more for fun. It's it's less kind of,
I love the fun
dominate
stuff.
The world. And
yeah, the Google Doodle was...
That's how they lull you into complacency, Matthew.
Right.
Those evil Google people.
If you were going to be Skynet, how would you get people to like you?
Look at this shiny thing
Santa
over
Claus.
Here.
That's how.
Greedy Santa Claus.
Google has taken over Santa Claus.
Pay no attention to the evil genius behind the curtain.
I like that that's a walled... Look at that. The whole thing is walled. There's no street out. It's like the Facebook campus.
Oh, my God. This is a metaphor for Google Land. You can't get out.
Can't get out.
There are no windows and no doors. Now, there's a little passageway there.
There you go.
And they control it.
You can't get at it, but there's a passageway there. But now, I don't... Oh, there's...
Well, you have to use your phone. If you use your phone, you can move around.
Yeah. You look around, but you can do it with your hands. See, I'm grabbing...
Oh, still video. Okay, you can. Okay.
And you see, the idea is you look at what's going on and it's going around you. I'm going to bring on my cruise on this boat, I'm going to bring my Theta S, my Ricoh Theta S, 360-degree immersive video. I'm going to vlog. And I'll post it on Facebook, which supports it, and on YouTube, which supports it. So everybody run out and get your Gear VR or your cardboard.
You should also use
join
cardboard,
me on the boat.
Cardboard video. Make some cardboards of your room.
I think it's the same. I think it's if I just pay, if I make it. A 360 video, and I post it on YouTube. It works.
Cardboard has a 3D to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's all the same. It doesn't. Oh, I see what you're saying. Like the 3D.
Yeah, cardboard thing. Camera actually has the 3D.
Yeah, but
process.
I just have one lens, so that's it won't be 3D. But it'll kind of feel like it because you can look around and you can look up and down. Yeah, I'll do the room. I'll do the I'll do all that different stuff so you can see it.
Do you remember VR plugins for like Firefox? And do you remember those? Virtual reality plugins, and you could download like a.
The dog's barking. Let me stop that. I was watching the 1989 Super Bowl this morning on the NFL channel, the Niners and the Bengals, a great memory for Niners fans. And they said, stay tuned for halftime and our special 3D presentation. Get your glasses ready. And I thought this was new. Nice.
Yeah.
They had it years ago. That was 25 years ago.
Boy, 3D. How long were 3D TVs in the store?
Half an hour.
Like a year and a half?
Yeah.
Maybe?
A weekend.
That was the great. Did you buy one? You bought one, didn't you?
3D TV?
Yeah.
All my TVs are 3D.
No.
Yeah.
And nobody ever. You can't buy that anymore, right?
Sure you can. All TVs, you still get 3D? It. I have glasses all over the place that I've never used.
No, I don't think
the worst thing is every once in a while the TV will say, I see 3D content. So, by the way, this is from the 1989 Super Bowl. Here's Bob Costas.
First, of course,
wow.
A word from our sponsor. Hold your breath, America. It's the first commercial ever in 3D.
1989. Look at those glasses.
Okay.
This is a Diet Coke commercial. Whoa, what an effect. The Diet Coke vending machine is rolling down a hill in San Francisco. There's a cable car. Oh, no, the man in the manhole. Watch out! Now, apparently, we're not seeing this in 3D, but I guess if you were, that Coke machine would be menacing. Now it's,
in the past year, almost 2 million families had made the move away from regular Pepsi.
Wow. That's some high quality right there.
$19.89.
Wow.
Man, that feels like
now,
it was 50
years ago.
Before
we go any further, I'd just like to say publicly, this is the single proudest moment of my life. Okay, it's showtime.
Bob Costas and the 3D halftime.
Wow.
At the Super Bowl. If I show more of that, the NFL will come and break my legs. And by the way, they're very good at that. So
they'll just give you a concussion.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They're good at that, too.
Crazy. I think I can. Can I get? No, we can only get the introduction. Apparently, the halftime itself was never preserved. Well, maybe here's a little bit of it. Here's the introduction, if you want to see the intro.
A magic word or two and see what happens. Abracadabra. Hocus pocus.
He looks so good in those 3D glasses. Albert, they were the red-green glasses. Now, imagine that those records are coming right at you in this spinning carousel of 45s. Whoa! Man. It almost hit me!
It's like watching TV from the 50s.
1989 feels like the present to me.
It's like an LSD thing.
Wow. Elvis Presto.
What a train wreck.
So they're, oh, they're throwing frisbees that are coming straight at you. Whoa! Whoa!
Whoa. Duck.
Bebop Bamboozled was the name of this halftime show. It was January 22nd, 1989. And believe it or not, the act was an Elvis impersonator.
Wow.
The star that year was the 3D.
I think that's why they didn't have to get a star. Best Android apps of 2015. Now, of course, Google has their own pick.
This was their picks.
This is their picks. Not Jet. Wait a minute. No, that can't be. That's another.
It says we've collected all of Google's top picks in one neat place.
Okay. All right. Here we go. This is Jet? Really?
Really?
The one that doesn't even deliver things?
This is Business Insider's pick as...
No, it says... No, you're right. It's weird. I don't get it.
Jet? That's the Amazon clone that raised a lot of money, but I don't know anybody who uses it. Google Docs? You know, wonder if maybe Google had some vested interest in some of these choices. Doodle, Schedule Maker. Never even... Alabama Android host...
I've never heard of
Jason
Doodle.
Jason Howell. Have you ever heard of Doodle Schedule Maker?
Doodle Schedule Maker.
I put this one up. I may be wrong. It might be Business Insider doing something funny.
No, I mean, they say every year the editors at Google hand selects.
By the way,
the top pick.
The editors at Google. What editors at Google? If there are editors at Google, hire me.
The robotic dogs.
Microsoft Word. Edit the world. This is a joke, right?
Jessica Jones was good. Zedge ringtones and wallpapers. This has to be paid placement.
I use that.
No, don't. Okay, my strong recommendation is never, ever, ever use a third-party wallpaper or ringtone app because half of them are malware. Maybe not Zedge, but...
Problem is I couldn't get a decent ringtone. How do I get a ringtone then?
I'll just give you a lesson someday. Any MP3 can be a ringtone.
Actually, I know, but I was trying to go through the Android mess to get it, and I finally gave up.
No, you just connect your phone to your computer and mount the disk as a data storage and then copy it over to your ringtones folder, and that's pretty much it.
All right.
Yeah, ringtones are easy on Android. YouTube gaming. Interesting how many Google products made it into their editor's choice list.
Well, Twitch is on there.
Twitch. That's the other one.
Hungry Caterpillar.
Kong. That's good. Action Launcher. See, not my favorite launcher, but at least that's a popular launcher.
That is a pretty popular
one. Nova is my favorite, but okay. Visco Camera is good. Choice of Boring is this was a classic children's book.
Yep.
And it's free.
Caterpillar?
My Very Hungry Caterpillar. You never read that to your kids? Eric Carle.
Oh, yeah, it's a great one. Eric Carle, yeah.
Love that book. By the way, spoiler, he turns into a butterfly. I'm not ever watching Twiggin again.
Thanks a lot.
I will get a tweet to that effect. I got a tweet from somebody who said you spoiled Star Wars before I'd seen the movie. Maybe somebody's just, it's very easily spoiled. Some people are easily spoiled.
I'll spoil it for you.
What? You didn't like it. What? You didn't like it. You didn't like it.
I thought it was going to be an actual spoiler.
No, you know what? I'm going to say something about that, and it will not be a spoiler. I felt the same way, but that's not the point. It's Star Wars, and they're back, and it doesn't matter if it's
meh.
It's still great.
Is it better than the last three?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what a high bar.
That's a low bar.
Yeah, I know it's low bar, but
I think it's the second best Star Wars movie ever made.
That was the sort of consensus among my friends.
It lost so many opportunities to develop character and conflict. It just didn't do.
Oh, I love the characters. Oh, I liked it a lot. In fact, I'm going to go see it again. So screw you, Jarvis.
Shut up, Jarvis.
In 3D?
Jarvis,
no, I saw it in 3D. And now after seeing Bebop Deluxe, I've got it's too high a bar. I'm going to have to see it in 2D. I had to see it in 3D, and I regret it now. I want to see it.
I sort of resent the 3D. Like some movies, you can't even find them in regular D, so you have to pay extra to go for 3D.
I know.
And then the movie's all muddy and dark.
Right.
And there's one scene where something lunges out of the screen at you, and that's it. Thank you.
Right.
So you paid twice as much for that.
I know.
And he wears these derby glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. Inside Out Thought Bubbles.
Man, this is an interesting list. As I'm scanning through it, I've maybe heard of half of these, which is not to say that the apps that I haven't heard of aren't good. It's just there's a lot in here that, wow.
Why would they pick them?
You would do so much better.
Completely off my radar. Apparently, I need to scan through this and pick some apps for my shows.
No, I disagree. Each week, the Android app arena. If you just picked
Snowball's good.
The winner each week from All About Android.
IM is pretty good.
Yeah. Lightroom?
Lightroom's good, yeah.
Mason, are you going to keep doing Android?
Oh, yeah. All About Android and Android App Arena. Sticking.
Oh, good. Yes, okay.
Definitely still doing that.
Photos, arguably the best app of the year of any kind anywhere on iOS or Android.
Stories.
Mm. Robinhood wants you to turn into a stock trader for free, lets you buy and sell stocks without a trading fee.
That had a big thing behind it when it hit. It was an iOS app for the longest time, and it finally got its Android release, and I don't know.
There's a Star Wars app? I didn't even know
Microsoft
that.
Microsoft Office Lens.
Lens is cool.
Lens is cool.
Is it?
Because
okay.
You can take pictures of, as she's doing, of a whiteboard or...
And depending on, if you're angled like that and you take that picture, then when it adds it to your camera roll, it straightens it out and does all this nifty stuff.
And does it do OCR? Does it recognize the text?
No.
Flipagram.
SwiftKey is great.
SwiftKey is the only choice. Nova Launcher. PixArt.
Actually, Flipagram, I've heard, is pretty good.
Yeah. Some of these are good. DJ's good.
Yeah.
Backgrounds, HD, I don't know. Memrise, Learn Language is free. I don't know. B&H. This is an ad for an app for a photo store.
Yeah. I mean, B&H is an institution.
And from what I understand, that app is notable because it's designed really, really well.
Okay.
It's got a really nice design.
I should get it because I spent a lot of money there. Yeah. Way too much money there. HBO Now, Office, Dashlane, Toka. All the Tokas.
All the Tokas are great.
Yeah. What was that?
Is Dashlane any good?
Showtime. LastPass. Dashlane's okay.
I use one password.
One password. LastPass is number one. One Pass is number two. Hmm. In my opinion,
what makes LastPass better?
Oh my God! Start using it, you'll know.
Okay.
It's just really they've done everything right. The only reason we're worried about LastPass is because they were acquired a couple of months ago by
bad people.
Log me in. Not the greatest people.
Log me in.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Hmm.
But the guy who created LastPass is still there. We interviewed him on Security Now and. I said, look, I'm going to continue to use LastPass as long as you're still there. But if things go south and you quit, that's a sign to me
that
LogMeIn is not going to be a good steward of the program, and I will bail. So that's one of the reasons I've tried Dashlane and 1Password and all the other ones is just to be ready. But LastPassword is...
Soon you won't need passwords, right?
Maybe not.
Just need your phone.
God knows. They were a bad idea.
Or your eyeball or something.
So while we're on that, one more quick. What's his name? Who's the crazy security? McAfee.
Yeah.
So he's on. Would you trust him given his psyche these days? He's on Kickstarter or Indiegogo with a new security thing. I don't know.
Oh.
Have you seen it?
You know what his last business was? Making bath salts. And I don't mean the kind you get in the tub with.
All right.
And running for president, right?
Yeah, he's building a $100 gadget to, quote, block the NSA.
Right.
Is that the one? Or is
it works with smartphones. And design. You know what? There are good solutions. It's called the... No, this is something else. There's other people doing similar things.
He's on Kickstarter or Indiegogo.
Decentral, it's called. Let me Google it. Decentral FutureTedCentral.com. You know, is it a VPN? What is it? I don't know.
No, it's a little device, and if you hold it near things.
Oh, please.
Sounds fake, but
you know,
okay.
I got a bracelet. If you wear it, you won't get arthritis.
Yeah.
It's magnets. Yeah, no, if you ever, Jeff, if you want to get secure, let me know. We have a show all about it.
Oh, I know.
I know all the tricks and tips.
It's what got me to do two-factor. So yeah.
You know what I did? Actually, I recommended this on, and I wish I'd gotten it in time for our cruise. I recommend this on MacBreak Weekly. It's called the Tiny Hardware Firewall. And it's a little device. And you travel enough, you probably should get one. It's this big. And it makes all your traffic VPN traffic. So you use it when you're in an open Wi-Fi access spot. It'll pick up the signal. You can either connect it directly to your computer or have it be a Wi-Fi access point for up to four devices. But it puts it all through a VPN. And if you wish, Tor.
And so does it have a cellular connection? Is that what it does?
No. It uses the Wi-Fi at the open Wi-Fi access point.
Okay.
It's powered, you know, directly via USB. You could plug it into your machine or you could use a little battery dongle. And the thing is, it's free. The hardware is free if you buy a year's worth of VPN for $91 from this company, Hotspot VPN. So I bought it. I'll give you a report. But I wanted to use it on the ship because you can only use public Wi-Fi on the ship. That's your only choice, right? So usually what I'll do is I'll use my phone. If I'm on an open hotspot, I'll just use my phone, and that's fairly secure as a hotspot. But
How much is the Wi-Fi on the ship?
a lot. But I bought
$100
on three accounts.
No, it's not that bad, actually. It's better than, I think it was, I want to say, for the week, $65 per device. So it's not too bad.
Well, it's not that bad.
It's like hotel Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be very fast because, again, this is, and one of the reasons we're going out of New Jersey so I can go on this high-tech ship. It's all about it's got a robot bartender, stuff like that. I want to try the high-techery. But it's supposedly, and I've heard from a number of people who've sailed Royal Caribbean on these boats, and supposedly it's very fast internet, which is unheard of at sea. So I'll let you know. But I don't think I'm going to get my tiny hardware firewall in time. Got one more day.
And, you know, in health terms, it's just about the same as eating in Chipotle, so.
Notice you haven't mentioned Chipotle a lot lately there, Mr. Travis.
No, I'm not going.
Are you off the Chipotle?
I look at Chipotle and I say, what are you doing in there, folks? I'm not going in until they figure it out.
That's kind of too bad.
I miss it. I really miss it. It's a great thing to come home and get one on the way home and
good,
a beer.
Good
and
food.
Guac, but the Business Week has a big cover story. It's all, I was starting to read it, and it's, I think, a devastating.
Is it? So it's like, it's not merely some bad stuff that got in. It's like
they can't get to the bottom of it. So as I say, it's the cover of Business Week. So that's not going to be good for the stock.
That's not good. India says, hold on there, internet.org. We want to make sure. And others are starting to say now that the Facebook's idea to bring internet to a developing world that can't afford high-speed internet for free is really not, well, it's controversial. It's really just Facebook, not the internet. India's telecom regulator has asked the service be disabled while it investigates whether it poses a threat to net neutrality. You know, we need an FCC like that.
Well, yeah.
Why don't we have an FCC like that?
Gee, Comcast and T-Mobile, you can't give away special services for special prices.
In particular, the regulator is concerned about whether phone carriers should be allowed to charge different prices for different content, in this case free for some websites like Facebook.
Zero rating.
Yeah. Zero rating, that's what it's called, huh?
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic. I had a long conversation with someone who's Indian about whether it's better for people to have a kind of dumbed down, you know, sort of walled garden version of the internet than no internet, or would it be better, you know, if you can't have the whole internet, then you just get no internet. And it's not actually an easy question to answer. So if you say, well, Facebook shouldn't do this, then lots of people are just going to have no internet at all.
Listen to what you get.
I agree with you, Matthew. I think it's not an easy.
It's complicated. Listen to what you get. In India, you get Facebook Messenger, but you also get BBC News, Wikipedia, Bing, AccuWeather, sites dedicated to infant health and malaria prevention, 30 sites total. They're customized to the location. Indian news sources, for instance. And Facebook wants to bring this to other places like a dozen African countries, Middle East, Latin America, Asia Pacific. Yeah, would you rather have that or nothing?
Right. I got to say my first response was, well, you know, this is just Facebook trying to create a little walled garden, and it selects the sites that it wants, and it plays nice with the phone companies, and all of that is true, but it also is giving people access to things that are valuable for nothing. So,
and the key to what I think is this, to me, it's a governance question, that it's the same problem with AMP and Google. If you're going to say it's open, then you've got to make it open. Right. And anybody who wants to join under reasonable conditions joins. Now the problem becomes that then big guys can all join and be free and make ad money. And an Indian startup comes in and can't afford terms. That's where the issue comes in. If it becomes restraint against newcomers, that would be my issue. But at some level, is something that's limited better than nothing? But the same argument was about Google and China, by the way. Gee, is it limited Google better than no Google? And there I said no. Don't go along with the authorities in that case. Very different situation. But limitations being better than the whole. The internet is a whole. It's supposed to be any point to any point.
This person I was talking to said, you live a privileged life in North America, and you get high-speed internet and can access whatever you want because you can afford it.
Yep.
You're probably not the best person to say, is this a good thing or not? Because obviously to you, it's not a good thing. But to some people who, they've got a dumb phone, they've got no internet at all, maybe this sort of watered-down version is better. And I agree with you, Jeff, it'd be better if Facebook wasn't the one choosing who gets to be part of it, if they opened it up more in some way, or if maybe there was some kind of, advisory board or something, so it wasn't just Facebook saying, here's Facebook's version of the internet.
If I'm all in favor of this. If they give you Wikipedia, you don't have to look at Facebook.
Yeah, true.
And if somebody just came along and said, I will give you free unlimited access to Wikipedia, that's a good thing. And even though Twit is not included in that bundle, that's still a good thing.
But it could be.
I don't think that's anti-competitive. I think that's a good thing. And if it weren't Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, I don't think there'd be this kind of criticism of it. If somebody came along and said, if the EFF came along and said, look, what we want to do is give people free access to Wikipedia and some malaria sites and AccuWeather and BBC News for free. Nobody would say, oh, that's a violation of neutrality. They'd say, yeah, great. Thank you, EFF.
And actually, if it was Google, people would probably say, oh, that's great.
Maybe.
Thanks, Google.
Maybe.
No. But if it was, let's say it's a nonprofit. Let's say it's a nonprofit doing this.
Let's say it's an NGO.
Wouldn't everybody say, oh, great? They wouldn't say, oh, but where's all the other parts of the internet? They'd say, oh, great.
Do you get access to Google or is it just Bing?
It looks like it's just Bing, and I don't know why they've mentioned Bing.
About this. So you search Bing, or you search, even if Google's there, everything you search on is not free.
Right. You'd find a bunch of sites that you couldn't go to for free.
So that's where walled gardens, Wikipedia, Facebook, and so on, complete things are the best for this kind of model, but that's exactly the problem.
But do this thought experiment. What if it were the EFF offering Facebook Messenger, BBC News, Wikipedia, Bing, and AccuWeather? But let's take Facebook out so you don't have to include that. Wouldn't you say, yeah, right on, EFF, good job. Thank you.
Next question. What if Mountain or MTN phone service in Africa, a huge phone company there, did the same thing? So Comcast we're getting mad at, and T-Mobile we're getting mad at for doing, zero rating. So what if a telecommunications company in Africa or India or South America did the same thing?
It's only a good thing if you're giving something to people that they can't otherwise get.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, it's not a good thing. It would never be a good thing in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it would be. Let's say you're in a rural area where you have no access to the internet, not because of poverty, but just because you don't have any access because there's no access. And somebody comes along and says, well, I'll give you access, but you only get 5 sites. It's like, why wouldn't you say yes to? What's wrong with that? I disagree. Yeah, I think this is I think internet.org is a fine thing. I think it's because it's from Facebook that everybody goes, well, Facebook's getting a lot out of this. Well, yeah, they are. Of course they are, because they're a for-profit company. But I think this is a good thing.
Are they paying the telcos that offer it? I mean, I don't
know. They must be doing the they must.
I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah, they must be paying for it.
You know, it's funny, though. Facebook is the classic. Like, their expertise is sort of Faustian bargains.
I know, right? I know.
Because this is so good, and it's such a positive thing, and yet the fact that Facebook is doing it
must frustrate
makes it feel like they're trying to, you know, pull one over on people.
Must frustrate Mark, because...
I'm sure it does.
Even if he wants to do a good thing, he can't, because everybody presumes him to be evil. Okay, here's the... the John McAfee thing. Every key, the master key. Convenience makes security.
What the hell is this? Can you figure this out?
No, this is what happens when you smoke too many bath salts. When every key is close to your phone, laptop, tablet, house, door, car door, or other access control device, it unlocks that device. When you walk away, that device locks back down. Every key can also log you into your website accounts. Oh, well, yeah, I can understand this. It's like a YubiKey or something.
Yeah.
If you lose your every key, you can remotely freeze it. Yeah, this is all right.
It's all right? Okay.
Let's see the TV commercial.
So it's like those RSA key things.
Yeah.
Hello there. I'm
John McAfee. Inspiring. John McAfee's carrying a mace.
Since leaving the company, I've become part of bigger and better things. This is my new product, Every Key. This is my phone. I have to type a password into it 100 times a day. But with this, I never have to type another password again. And it's not just the key to my phone or my laptop. Motherfucking hell. This is not just the key to my online accounts or the key to my car.
This is a TV commercial.
It's my every key. I am the man who's obsessed with security. And so is every key.
He's got a dragon.
Nothing is more secure. And if I lose it, I can remotely freeze it. Show me another key that can do that. So it's your choice. All of this?
Or probably just a good idea.
We were just talking about, you know, how passwords
revolution of access control. Yep.
Don't work. Let's look at the tech specs. See what, because that's obviously.
I lose these little things.
So it's Bluetooth. I don't know. If, by the way, how you would wipe it if it's Bluetooth.
Because it probably checks into the mothership, and the mothership says, not got anymore.
Not via Bluetooth, which is, has a 30-foot range. So you'd have to have it. It would have to be plugged into something.
Right.
Obviously, there's something that has to be running on the computer and the phone. They say it works with iOS.
To recognize it.
To recognize it and unlock it. Yeah. You know what? It's like it's like an Android Wear watch that when I have my Android Wear watch near my phone, it unlocks.
It unlocks, right?
Yeah. I think there are a few holes in this I'd like to know more about.
Yeah, I want to hear a security now on this one.
Wait a minute. Now I feel better. It says on the webpage.
Military grade
security. Okay. Sorry, I apologize. By the way, that is the last refuge of the scoundrel. Military grade security. When you read that, immediately red flag. What military? What do you mean military grade? What grade? A, B, C? What grade is that?
There's a Fitbit version.
In toothpaste.
There's a bracelet version.
Yeah. It uses AES 120-bit encryption that has been used by the military. Yes, it has. So, well, the Enigma machine was used by the military too, you know. Some sort of weird Bluetooth thing. I'd like to see how that works with your laptop and with your phones. Like, what app would you have on your phone that could lock down an iOS device until it saw this device?
There's a key that hits everything. If you want to get scared, John McAfee steals your connection to everything that you have.
Oh, yeah. He says it's audited by a third party. His
my cousin,
Edna.
Vinny.
Yeah.
Vinny says it's cool.
I loved this story. I'm glad somebody linked to this. According to DW, which you probably know what that is.
This is Deutsche Welle.
Deutsche Welle.
Which is a government-run media company.
Educated Germans avoid social media.
It's phenomenal. And go look at the chart. It's the old.
They do?
In all other countries, educated people are indexed higher on social media than uneducated people, except Germany.
Why?
I think paranoia is cool.
That is so weird.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Iceland is one of the few countries where both educated and uneducated people spend 80% of their time on social media. But in Germany, even uneducated, that is someone with no or low formal education, only spends half his time or her time on social media. If you have an education, 40%.
Why?
Because it's dangerous.
Because I think it is the intellectual vogue to be, is becoming anti-technology, anti-social, anti-Datenschutz data.
I know they're very security conscious. So I wonder if they just think.
Do you think that
some people are tracking them? Or
maybe the legacy of Nazi Germany. And
yeah,
the,
I know.
And
it's always the argument is this, it's recent political history. But my argument back is that I think it's partly cultural. My grandfather-in-law and grandmother-in-law came from Germany in 1923, and they're every bit as private as the Germans I know today. But yes, that's certainly a factor. I don't, you know, Stasi and Nazi, I don't deny that.
And the files that they kept.
But I do think that the kind of techno panic that is the wellspring of it is Germany. Part of it is the interests of companies, of Axel Springer and company, who are otherwise brilliant media companies, but they've fought Google this way to the harm of the country. Part of it's government regulation and a reflex for that. Distrust of big American companies. It's a lot of factors.
Yeah. This article says, is it a sign that the well-educated in Germany are simply satisfied with their rustling newspapers, weekly magazines, and evening news programs?
Maybe.
I want to go back to that time.
They also like big brands. They like institutions.
Yeah. I want Walter Cronkite.
You know what I found fascinating at NewsGeist? I don't know if we talked about this before, but three publishers of three leading German newspapers said the use of ad blocking software in their users was as high as 40%. I found that amazing because I talked to a publisher of an Italian paper and he said ad blocking wasn't even on their radar. And yet some German papers, their users...
Yeah.
The use of ad blocking software was 40%.
We had the makers of Adblock Plus on, a German company that's widely used. They said 41% in Germany.
And I think someone explained that it was mostly security driven. Mm. It wasn't so much the ads. It was the trackers and the data.
Yeah, because I think Germans have been exposed to as many ads as anybody else. They're not ad averse, right? I don't know.
Well, I think this is part of the anti-corporate, too.
Yeah.
I think they're smart.
I was waiting for that.
I think I want to abandon social media.
But social media has benefits.
It's people. It's Soylent people. Green. It's people inside.
It's made of people. Yeah.
It's made of people.
The more I use Twitter, the more I regret it. And, yeah, they're annoying.
Yeah, they are.
Well, I the scariest technology imagined I've seen is the story that's in about Twitter in the rundown. A drone controlled by Twitter. I can't imagine a worse idea. I'll go here. I'll go there. A squirrel.
By the way, that was a patent application by Twitter. I know. That doesn't mean they plan to do it. Although, if you've ever been to twitch.tv and watched, Twitch has done it twice now. Twitch plays Pokemon.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. That was fascinating.
Which is exactly that, which is all the people in the twitch.tv chat room.
Right.
Are trying to issue commands so that they can win.
They finished it.
They won.
That was what was amazing.
But then the next one they did was Twitch installs Linux.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And I don't know if they ever finished that. Did they? Let me ask the chat room because I'm sure they watched. It's fascinating to watch because it's one step forward, two steps back. It's like, you know, then there's chaotic. There's all the elements of a role-playing game. There's the chaotic element. There's the good, the paladin. And there, this guy's trying to do an installation, and there's a chaotic element that goes RMRF star. It's pretty funny. Did they ever get Linux installed? I don't know. I feel like social media drains my precious bodily fluids. To really? Coin a phrase. I feel like it sucks the life out of me. Yes, really. Don't you feel worse after you look at Facebook and Twitter?
No, actually, I don't.
You don't?
Maybe I'm following different people.
Yeah, you're following better people, maybe.
I actually do find, I mean, maybe it's because I work at home and I don't get a chance to go into an office and sort of network with real live human beings. I actually, it's a lifeline for me. I spend a lot of time on there just having conversations with people about things.
Do you read your at mentions?
I do, yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's the part I find draining.
Well,
because
I filter them
all the time.
Well, no, so they're not all attacking me, but
I click back and forth between reading them all and then reading just sort of
the verified
direct mentions and then reading verified ones, because sometimes there's a lot. But yeah, I look at them all.
I also find, and maybe this is an age thing, although you guys are old too, I can't understand what they're saying a lot. The move to 140 characters has really meant that the tweets are, especially because you laid them up with hashtags, they're extremely cryptic.
Yes.
They can be, definitely. And, I mean, I get into Twitter fights or people.
Oh, I've learned not to.
You know, those things. But actually, some of that stuff I enjoy. It's
You like Twitter fights.
I don't know.
Nothing good has ever come out of a Twitter fight for me.
Nope. No, and I'm not talking about fights. I mean, just sort
discussions are okay.
Friendly debates, about a topic.
But they're almost always not satisfying because a person just, if he loses, just drifts away. I want capitulation.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I do try to limit my time because it can suck up basically all of your time.
What's your preferred platform?
You mean for Twitter?
No, for what social network?
Oh, it's got to be Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. Although, I mean, I'm a big Instagram fan as well.
I love Instagram because it's just pictures. I don't read the comments. And and Facebook's interesting, but I always feel manipulated by Facebook because they're always changing. I know. And it's apparent. Like a friend of mine, I was a family member. Said I posted a bunch of pictures. It was my call screen. I posted a bunch of pictures from our New Year's party. I never saw them because Facebook didn't deem them important.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of Jeff Jarvis.
Well, the other thing that happens is don't forget Facebook is constantly refreshing. So one of the problems I have with Facebook is you go forward to read something, you go back trying to get to the same spot, and it's not. They refreshed it again. So it's not just about saying, oh, we're not going to show you that. It's that we might have tried to show you that, an hour ago, but that's warm beer now.
I've been doing this sort of social experiment where I ask civilians, as I like to call them, or muggles, people who don't, aren't into social media and don't understand things but are, relatively intelligent human beings. I will ask them whether they know that Facebook filters their newsfeed. Using an algorithm.
No, they don't.
So there are things that they don't see.
No.
And roughly 75% have no idea that even happens.
Yeah.
So they're missing things, but they don't know that they're missing things. They assume that they're seeing everything.
You can, of course, change your newsfeed to be chronological.
You can, but then Facebook changes it back.
It doesn't stay that way.
You're right. It changes roughly every 18 hours or so. They change it back.
Let's remember, too, that there's something else somewhere in this news feed about how people get news. The world's on Facebook. They're not on Twitter. We're on Twitter. The world's on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The world's not on Twitter.
No.
Four in 10 people get news from Facebook. One in 10 get it from Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality.
And actually, 60% of millennials said that Facebook is their primary or one of their primary news sources.
Yeah, I mean, I actually it's funny because I do read, I go to Tech Meme and Nuzzle and Hacker News. There's certain, beat checks I do two or three times a day looking for news for these shows. But I often get articles from Facebook and Google Plus because of the people you follow. And I guess some, Nuzzle's mostly Twitter, so I'm getting the Twitter stuff from Nuzzle. So there's definitely, because of the people I follow, and if I do, and by the way, if I do it chronologically, it's much less interesting than if I let, give in and let Facebook do it.
I do actually go back and forth. It's interesting to see the difference.
Yeah, it's good to see. It's very different. Chronological means you're seeing everything. Yeah, it's everything in chronological order. That's what used to be.
And they are giving you a bit more control. They started showing people who do you want to see at the top of your feed. And so you can sort of pick.
Oh, if you know favorites. What you're doing, Scoble gave me a lesson. If you know what you're doing, you could totally, for instance, everybody.
He uses lists a lot.
Yeah, but you don't even have to do that. Everybody that you follow is either a close friend or an acquaintance. They're different categories of friendship. And if you make somebody an acquaintance, you'll see less of their stuff. You're signaling Facebook all the time about what you like. That's why I see Jeff Jarvis a lot, because I liked a lot of your stuff, Jeff. And so Facebook, the algorithm's not super bright, but said, oh, you like Jeff Jarvis. Let's give you more of that.
Let's show you all of everything of posts. Jeff Jarvis.
Yeah.
I expect you to say thank you, Facebook.
Thank you, Facebook.
My nephew, who's 20-something, told me at one point that he was on Facebook, but he refused to ever like or comment on anything. And I said, why would you do that? And he said, I don't want Facebook to start screwing things up with the algorithm. So I'm trying to give it as little information as possible to go on. I just thought that was fascinating.
Well, and I did another thing on this show. I added all the candidates for president, Republican and Democrat. I liked them all. My daughter, by the way, immediately called me and said, you like Donald Trump? And I had to explain. I took great pains to explain. No, Abby, I'm trying to get a fuller picture. Right. I'm trying to get out of the filter bubble. You like Donald Trump? No, I'm just trying. But what's funny is I don't see a lot of political stuff in here. It didn't.
Interesting.
It didn't change much. Either they're not posting much, or I'm not seeing it. And I figured they probably are.
Have you ever seen a friend, and it says they liked something, and you're like, I can't believe that person actually liked that thing. I've asked a few friends where I saw so and so liked a page.
Right.
You know, from
my daughter did. Yeah.
Right. And then I will ask them. I never liked that. I'm not sure how that happened.
Oh, you've gotten a spurious likes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But it's a black box. That's part of the problem. Yeah, you don't know how they're weighting your different
behaviors. But how could they show you that in any reasonable
way? Well, They couldn't.
Oh, hey, look at this. I got Donald Trump's Christmas card. So now I'm happy.
Nice.
I love you all, says Donald Trump, except the women, the blacks, and the Hispanics.
And the losers.
And the losers and you stupid, foolish people, but everybody else, I love you. My God. Merry Christmas.
He hates everyone except himself. And for that, now I'm going to get 100 tweets and Facebook saying,
oh, that's the other thing. Scolding that poor Jeff gets for not sticking to tech.
Let me tell you, simple rule here. Never tell me what not to say.
Because he's going to say it. No, I've learned that.
No, I'm not saying to you, Leo. I'm saying to your audience. Don't
never
tell
me
what
tell
not
me the
to
odds.
Say. You got that? I'm from Jersey. I don't go for that. Because what you don't want me to say is what you don't want to hear. And that's not a very mature attitude.
No.
Right? So if you don't want it, just wait 30 seconds and it's over. And your life will be back to normal and we can talk about technology.
In all honesty, this is why I follow Cruz and Trump and Rubio and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. I want to hear the stuff I don't want to hear. I want to hear everything.
Yeah,
I want to get as much as
exactly.
I can. Just because that's a bad sign. Well, when you don't want to hear something, that's something. There's something there. You should find out.
And actually, I think that's one of the most powerful arguments against an algorithm-driven feed.
Exactly.
Because Facebook is not trying to show you things that encourage you to think about, the alternate side of the argument. It is showing you things that it thinks you will like. And that, that creates a really strong filter
bubble. It's also fun. No, it's also showing you things that will cause discussion and that people are talking about.
But
I don't fully agree. I don't think it's that simplistic.
No, it's not that simplistic, but they want to get you to engage. And I think they're leaning towards things you either already have clicked on or liked, or things you've shown that you're interested in. So you have to take
kind of self-reinforcing,
like Leo does. You have to you have to take an effort to tell Facebook, look, I want to be exposed to more stuff than just the sort of things I quote unquote like.
But at least I could do that. And what's interesting is Facebook did not make some global judgment at that point and start feeding me other stuff, you know, conservative or Republican or Libertarian or Democrat. They didn't. It just was. It actually worked out pretty well. And now I got Donald's Christmas card. I'm happy
about that. From Facebook, out of nowhere, I found this out that Chipotle is changing its menu to assure food safety. Now, I find this very interesting, now that I'm changing the subject.
Which means no more lettuce.
Onions will be blanched and marinated in lemon and lime juice to kill off germs instead of served raw. Raw chicken will be marinated in resealable plastic bags. Cilantro will be added to cooked rice to assure possibly dangerous microbes will be killed off. Cheese will arrive pre-shredded, while pork and barbacoa beef will be shipped in pre-sealed bags. Tomatoes and cilantro, likely the culprit of the two outbreaks, according to the CDC, will be thoroughly washed, chopped, and tested in an outside location.
Good.
In short, they're not preparing anything there. My question to this is, when will all this happen? Because I ain't going back until all that's done.
I still haven't been to a Jack in the Box.
Why?
Like 25 years ago, they had E. coli.
93. Yeah.
93. Yeah. And I haven't been there ever since.
I walked into one. I thought, all right, this is ridiculous. You're being stupid, Jeff. I went in a couple weeks ago, and this guy's behind the line's not wearing gloves. Now, I tweeted about this, and I know that, yes, you can schmutz gloves the way you can your hands.
But they shouldn't. That's not.
Just think, people, and make rules that are going to make people more comfortable. So Chipotle, I gave you all this free publicity on the show. I regret it.
I got to say, I ate there, and I didn't like it. I mean, nothing bad happened to me. I just didn't think it was that good.
Friend of mine said I tweeted before all this broke out that I was bored with the menu because they brag they haven't changed in 22 years. And my friend sold his stock at that moment.
Wow.
He owes me.
Yeah, wow. I wouldn't brag about something like that.
No. Hey, we're going to take a break because this show's already over 2 hours. I just noticed. I'm sorry. But we'll have your final thoughts in just a second. But first, a word from FreshBooks, the way, if you're a freelancer, to get paid. Because that's kind of important. I know you love what you do. What I bet you don't love is sending out those invoices at the end of the month. But unfortunately, that's kind of key to getting paid. Let FreshBooks do the hard stuff. FreshBooks makes it really easy to format and send invoices via email. Although they will print and mail them too. If you have one of them old-fashioned clients that works in every currency worldwide. I loved that because I was billing Canadians and Americans. And so I had to have different currencies. If you have expense reports, you can actually take pictures of the receipts with your FreshBooks app on your smartphone, and then it goes right into the invoice. I just love FreshBooks. And they keep adding new features, things like the new request a deposit feature where you can ask for a deposit in FreshBooks so you don't have to cover costs out of pocket or wait until the end of a project to get paid. And they have a card reader. So if you present an invoice at the end of a workday, you know, maybe you're at a home inspector or something, a pesticide plier, what do they call those? You know, you put the, you have your FreshBooks invoice, you show the client the invoice, here you go, window washer, here's the invoice, then you put the little swipe card in there, and they could swipe the stripe or dip the chip, it's EMV chip card enabled, and you get paid. So many great reasons why you should be using FreshBooks right now. 30 days free, and you'll know everything about it. Just go to FreshBooks.com/twig. FreshBooks.com/twig. It is easy. It's fast. You get paid faster. You'll be more efficient. You get to focus on the stuff you love, not the stuff you don't. FreshBooks.com/twig. I used it for years, and I think you will love it. Do me a favor, though. Mention This Week in Google. When you check out, you know, they'll say, how did you hear about us? Tell them you heard it on Twig. FreshBooks.com/Twig. Jeff Jarvis from the City University of New York, from Fortune, senior editor Matthew Ingram. It's kind of my favorite threesome here. Now that we've lost Gina Trapani to the startup world. But she'll come back every month, as always. But this is a good group. You guys, I like smart conversation, and we always get that when you're here, Matthew. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Did you want to mention a pick or something you like these days?
Actually, not so much a pick. Something I thought was interesting that I didn't get a chance to write about. I noticed that Foursquare is doing a, said to be doing a fundraising round.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be, their valuation has dropped by more than 50%. I think that's, I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg. We're going to be seeing more of that, I think, pretty soon. Because some of these companies that have been venture funded are, you know, they're getting a little long in the tooth. And Foursquare was such an amazing, is such an amazing service. I just think, you know, valuations probably got ahead of kind of the reality of that, what that could offer. And so I think we're probably going to see a bunch of that happening.
Yeah. I, you know, the stumble, I think, was when they took out, they separated Swarm out and they took out the games and the mayors and stuff. Yeah. Now that mayorships are back, I'm using it again. I love it.
Yeah,
I want the
I've
game.
Started using it again, too.
Yeah.
And I know why they split them.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to Dennis Crowley about it, and they had a good rationale, but I'm just, I don't think it worked.
No. Nope.
You know, a lot of people went away from it at that point.
No. Nope. Speaking of which, did you read Katie Benner's really good piece in today's Times?
Yeah.
About good technology.
In fact, that was the other one I was going to use as an example. You look at the valuation of that company at one point.
We're talking
about what it actually wound up selling for.
So sad. And of course, this is the sad thing is that the employees get hurt. In fact, the end of the story, one of the employees said, we paid to work here because they get taxed at the higher valuation when they get stock awards before the pre-IPO. So the IRS says, okay, fine, you just got $180,000 in stock based on the current valuation. Pay us $70,000 or $80,000 in tax. But then when the unicorn stumbles and the valuation plummets and they ended up, they were
selling
at one point valued at, they were one point valued at $1.1 billion. BlackBerry eventually bought them for $425.
Yeah.
That stock now is worth less than you paid in taxes.
And a bunch of people borrowed to pay those taxes.
So sad.
I mean, it's a great sort of, you know, red flag for if someone's joining a company like that.
Yeah.
I mean, valuations can go in both directions.
And
they don't always just go up.
And of course, the investors have preferred shares, so they get paid first.
Right.
They ended up getting $125 million. The CEO, who arguably drove the company to the ground, got a $4 million paycheck and a $1.9 million severance payment and has now moved on. And but the employees, some of them owe $150,000 or more.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's just sad. This was a security company, good technology that ended up being part of BlackBerry, which by in and of itself is probably not.
Has its own problems.
Yeah. but Katie Benner, nice job on this. And of course, Katie's a regular on many of our shows. She was on Twitch just a couple of weeks ago. So
I think there was a real, there's a bunch of these companies out there that their valuations are, it's not that they're bad companies and it's not that what they're doing isn't valuable. It's just that the valuations got, you know, just way, just inflated beyond sort of reality.
Yeah, somebody was asking me about that today. I don't think that there is, and Andreessen goes on about this a lot on Twitter. I don't think there's an overall bubble per se. We have to keep in mind that venture capital is, in majority, a losing business, right? It's the unicorns that make your money. So the fact that they're wrong 10% of the time in terms of companies that just plain die, and the fact that they're wrong 10% of the time in the valuations,
that's the game.
It's the game. It's not surprising at all. It's just part of the averages that work out.
Yeah.
And so when we point anecdotally at a couple of companies that have had down rounds or gone down or lost their value, with a lot of people's lives and careers involved and people's real money involved.
Yeah.
But that doesn't a trend make.
But let me point out that the way the venture capitalists structure the deals, they're often made whole.
Yes.
First.
Well, no one else is.
So they have less risk because they're made whole. And this happened with Tech TV. I was given a quarter of a million shares of Tech TV when they first started.
It looks so good as wallpaper in your bathroom.
To keep me there. They even had the gall to say, you know, if here's a bit, and the CEO grew a graph, it all looked all likely this would be worth $1.5 million. What was it worth when Paul Allen sold it finally? Well, he got made whole.
Yeah.
Not me. It was worth nothing. Now, fortunately, I didn't pay tax on that. Had I paid tax on those grants,
oh,
But they were just options. They weren't grants. And right. Had I paid tax on them, I would have been furious. But that happens. So that's pre-startup, boom, boom, anything. This has been going on for years.
Oh, yeah. And it's not it's not that people are doing, you know, that they're evil or that the system is, this is actually
this is
the
how
way
works.
It works.
Yeah.
Well, the way it works, yeah.
It is a little bit evil. Yeah, because it's sophisticated finance people.
Yeah.
Kind of taking a little bit of advantage of just normal folk. Sometimes I've had it, the employees have said, "What can we have stock options?" And I just want to say to them, you don't, trust me.
You don't want them.
You don't want that. I will pay you well. You don't want stock options.
You should have money.
You should have money. Yeah. And that's the, I think that that's there. If there is malfeasance, it's this kind of, and by the way, the SEC has a lot of rules to protect people, which yep. are being eroded now by the Jobs Act and others because everybody wants to get in at the ground floor of this exciting new economy.
Well, how many companies have I gotten advisor stock in that?
Yeah, nothing.
And I've, you know, I've done a few nano angel investments, just very few. I don't have enough money to do much, but a few.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not the game. When I was going to open a venture fund out of my school, out of my program, thinking that was a good way to have an impact, Albert Wenger at Union Square Ventures, God bless him, sat me down and said, Jarvis, no. He said, it's all about deal flow. Mm-hmm. And unless
That's
you're
right.
in the top tier,
That's
the
right.
good deals don't come to you.
That's
and
right.
you don't, haven't proven anything yet, so bad deals are going to come to you, and then mm-hmm. worse yep. deals are going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way the business works,
yeah.
and it's right. Unless you're adding tremendous value.
And this is why I do kind of support the regulation that is now being kind of softened to protect normal people, because, I think there, you know, if anybody can invest, there will be people who will take advantage of that.
Oh, yes.
And the Jobs Act eliminated, you know, some of the tests that you have to pass, you know, income tests and so forth, in the interest of making it more democratic. But, you know, then now the message Ooh. To everybody is, before you give anybody any money, you better do some research. You better learn. Watch Silicon Valley, if nothing else. They'll tell you.
Hooli,
baby. I got me some Hooli stock. Sheldon Adelson is the guy who bought the Las Vegas Review Journal. Yay!
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a story that is. What Man. A story.
We're going to have to save that for another day.
What a yeah. train wreck.
Oh, my God. Shelley. There's a guy. There's a shark. He got out of Comdex just in the nick of time.
But he just wants it to be fair and balanced.
Right. Fair and balanced. That's all we ask. But if you would investigate these judges, I would take it as a favor. Jeff, you have a list. I want you to tell us about this list because this is my favorite song of all time.
Alleluia.
I love this song.
Alleluia.
Lisa says this is a religious song. I say it is not a religious
Alleluia.
Song.
It's actually, yeah, it's the opposite, in fact.
That's what
Alleluia.
I think. I think Leonard Cohen would agree.
Yeah, I am a huge fan of Leonard Cohen.
I am too. So I saw on the interwebs today that there was a list of 60 versions ranked of Alleluia.
Wow.
Then along came the wonderful J.P. Ragnaswamy, who is 7 years ago, in 2008, 7 years, 2016, some years ago, I feel like Howard Stern.
By the way, Bon Jovi ranked, at number 49.
Ranked more than 100 versions, versions
wow.
of the song. But if you go to the bottom of the Newsweek one,
yeah,
you can play a few moments of one or two.
The
and
best
there's a little
ones.
Story about them.
I'm hoping they're saying the best one is his own. I agree,
no,
Jeff Buckley.
He made number eight.
He made number eight. John Cales is good.
Buckley is pretty good.
John Cales
is number one.
I love Jeff Buckley's.
Yeah, but the next one up I love.
Rufus Rainwright.
Oh, it's great. Have you ever heard that one?
The Canadians are owning this.
I haven't heard that one.
Rufus, play a little Rufus. It's
little Rufus. One of the great songs. We'll leave this as your holiday gift. Thank you, everybody, for doing Twig.
There was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music.
Loudon Wainwright III's son.
Yes.
It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king.
You may remember this from the Shrek soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah, that's where he sang. Really? Katie Lang to me as the absolute
Lang is
best.
Pretty amazing.
She's got the best, and she's got three or four versions. There's
that
one.
Might be number one.
Look it up on YouTube.
Katie Lang's number five.
Where she sang it at a tribute to Leonard Cohen with him sitting there, and it was just.
She has an amazing, amazing voice.
She was the first cover of Entertainment Weekly. Katie
yep.
Lang.
Really? And it was very controversial. I heard that guy Jeff Jarvis say that.
Yeah. It's not the best selling cover. Voice. I'll tell you that for damn sure.
One of my favorite songs. So funny because this morning I was thinking, you know what I want to do is make a Spotify playlist of as many versions of this as I could think
yeah.
of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just great.
So in terms of religious Spector is good.
Yeah.
My sister is a Presbyterian minister, and a friend of hers had the choir at another church sing this. And there was some controversy about it because it's not.
I don't think it is. No, I mean, no, it's got the word hallelujah in it.
But
yeah, it
but
has
it's
some sex too.
Yeah, sex is religious.
So is life. So is life.
You ought to. Never mind.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's a great song.
Why do we call for God at that moment? Because it's religious. It's religious.
Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. I think it is actually a very spiritual song in the sense that
it's spiritual.
About life.
It's, yeah, definitely.
It's about love. It's about power.
One of the notes there says that he Leonard Cohen supposedly faxed another 15 verses.
I want them all.
Well, yeah, that would be awesome.
Brilliant, brilliant man. I did my best. It wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth. I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Actually, the best part of the song is all the ways he tries to rhyme hallelujah. What's it to ya? One of the great rhymes.
You don't care, do ya?
Do ya. Hey, Jeff, happy Christmas. Merry New Year.
Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. All that. We'll see you safe sailing.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you too, Matthew
trip.
Ingram from Fortune. Next week, the best of Twig. Thanks to Jason. And Jason Howell is going to go on to great things.
Thanks, Jason.
TNT. We wish you all the best, Jason.
Thank you, guys.
Jason, you have been a wonder and invaluable. And I'm glad. I'm hurt that you're sticking with Android and not us. But
you know what? You know what's great about this? Jason can be on the show with us now.
That's what I was going to say.
Hey, there we go. I'll do that.
Awesome.
Although, let me think here. Okay, so Twig is 1:30 to 3:30. TNT is 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's all right.
We can do. We can figure it out. Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me some time to get my legs underneath me, and then we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
We will be back, though, January 6th. Fourth for sixth, yeah, at 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, 21:30 UTC for the return of This Week in Google, the first episode of 2016. Everybody have a happy new year, a wonderful
Christmas
if you celebrate, Kwanzaa, winter solstice, Hanukkah's
Festivus.
Over, Festivus. We have the poll. Did you notice?
Yeah.
Jeff did do an airing of grievances, so technically.
He did, every episode.
Yes, that's right. That's
the
right.
Feats of strength. Next.
Yeah, we need that.
I sent my daughter a animated GIF of Festivus, and she said, "What the hell?" I think I'm going to have to show her that episode.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
Thank you, Matthew. Enjoy your I hope you get some snow someday.
Someday, maybe.
Enjoy your summer Christmas weather in beautiful Canada. You too, Jeff Jarvis, and thank you all for being here. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm Leo Laporte. We'll see you next time.